much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, let's do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ginger kids. Children with red hair, light skin, and freckles. They creep us out and make us feel sick to our stomachs. Ginger kids are born with a disease which causes very light skin, red hair, and freckles. This disease is called gingivitis. And it occurs because ginger kids have no souls.
And now,
is it just me, or is he extremely articulate when he wants to be?
Our feature presentation.
We talked to a dude who makes water taste like meat. That's what I know.
And Michael has a theory. By the way, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, ladies and gentlemen. Is the, I want to say, what the hell, 9th of February today?
10th.
10th? Okay, 10th.
Here's my thought. Yes. If you're going to give the date every day,
yes,
which you've started doing lately, which is fine.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Know it.
Did glance.
Own it.
Take a peek.
Every day I agree.
Go,
I agree.
Okay.
Michael has a theory that he could be right on, that he's suspicious that the whole thing may be a hoax, that there may be no meat water. And when he said that, it didn't occur to me yesterday. It's not my theory. But when he said that, I thought, it is interesting that they've been around for several years and they don't sell anything at retail. I wonder if the whole thing is some sort of giant sociological experiment to see how much crazy stuff people will believe.
It could be, because the other part of it was you can't just buy it individually. You have to throw some kind of party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
like
and,
Tupperware?
Yeah, like you have to lean on your friends to come over, and it sounded like if it was big enough, they would provide you product.
And no matter what flavor you suggested, they had it.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
They have 59 already, and they're going to have 64.
You came up with spam. Got it.
Yeah. I believe it was 69, too. That's another thing where it's like, oh, really? You have 69 flavors? And Kevin threw out spam and gefilte fish,
yes,
which he was looking to me. He said, think of some comedy stuff that he would have.
Really
that
bad.
That we could suggest. He had them. And then, to top it all off, the number one is like Polish
Hungarian
goulash. Yeah. No! Like, this is all too funny.
We're really idiots, aren't we?
Did we fall for it?
Probably.
But not one person who heard it yesterday on the radio called us and said, you guys are stupid.
I mean, no, but I did get some emails.
Buy it. About what? What did they say?
That we're stupid and it's a prank and they cited
a
website.
Oh, see, I didn't see any of that.
Oh, it's very...
Oh.
That's awesome. I didn't think of it for a second when I saw it. Because... It's really not outside the realm of what someone would come up with. It's a terrible idea, but yeah,
especially
that,
since Jones Soda exists, and
right,
we know that for a fact. We've bought it, we've tasted it, we've seen it, and you can buy, you know, cranberry or turkey or, you know, even spam. I mean, they have crazy food flavors in a soda. Why wouldn't they have it in a water too?
Right, but now that I hear this theory, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because it didn't, it wasn't adding up. It sounds like a terrible idea.
Right.
It sounds like the kind of thing the guy... You asked him if it was a difficult pitch, Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, not really.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is a difficult pitch. Even if it gets by, you're going to sit in somebody's office and go, we're going to make water that tastes like meat. And they're going to go, what else you got? That has to be a difficult pitch.
Yeah. Well, we may have been snickered, guys.
I don't care. I was happy. I mean, I'm not happy now because I put together a party, but...
Hey, do we have time for one more thing real quick?
Yeah.
Before we get moving on today's show?
Not if it starts with taps.
It starts with taps.
All right.
I generally look forward to the start of the show because I tell you hilarious stories about how people get killed or dumb things that people do. This one, I'm going to say just because, just as I may have missed the signs that Meatwater was a hoax, I'm glad I'm not a businessman because I never would have seen this coming. But what are the chances that Guitar Hero is now dead? There is no more Guitar Hero. Companies eliminating it.
Yeah.
They're not making it anymore. I mean, this is a product that was the hottest thing in the world for a couple of years.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was a $3 billion business. But it's done. It's over with. They said, you know what? People loved it, but you only have to buy it once. There's not a lot of products that come out that can sustain it.
Yep.
And they just let all those people go at Activision that have been making Guitar Hero. It's gone.
Yeah, I heard that it wasn't selling at all.
Yeah. Well, they had the Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock, which was the 14th version of the game, which came out this past Christmas season and sold dismally. It's expensive to produce. Lots of licensing fees for music
sure.
and things like that. And they basically just said it's a trend that has come and gone, and now it's over. Now, Activision is going to be fine because they also make, Call of Duty Black Ops.
Sure. Yeah. Is that?
Which made like $1 billion last year. So the company's going to be fine, but they did lay off the Guitar Hero division. I mean, that's your family's a perfect example, Kevin.
Yeah.
You were super, super into that for a while. And I guess it was for a lot of people, but now it's gone. I mean, you think you come up with an idea like that, and you've got a gold mine. You think that's going to last forever?
Well, when you take over the world with something like right. it did, I mean, it's burned bright. So you go, right. wow, this is going to be my future. I'm going to live forever on this, and then all of a sudden, people stop buying it.
Yep, I would not have predicted Guitar Hero dying after such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, only 6 years, and now it's gone. So.
Yeah, that is bizarre. But
good times.
But then again, you really the novelty of it. If you play it the first several very much,
mm-hmm.
you kind of get it, and it's fun.
Yeah.
But you don't need new, and then they go into specialties where they would just have a band, and you go, I don't really need that.
Right, exactly. There weren't a lot of killer apps coming out that made you stay committed to the franchise.
It wasn't, what it was? It wasn't advancing the game. It was just different music. The game
right, exactly.
pretty much stayed the same. But, that apparently has been selling super poorly, and they finally just had to pull the plug and say. Well,
so now Guitar Hero goes the way of meat water, things you can't buy anymore.
Unless you have a big party in there.
The big shame, honestly, with Guitar Hero going away is that, not the game itself, because I hated the game, but...
Oh, it was great.
The game really made people, like little kids and Dave the King of Mexico, like people who have no... I'm serious, like people who like crappy music... Like, there's no way Dave the King of Mexico would have ever known Rush songs if it wasn't for Guitar Hero. And now he loves them. And, like, my little niece's nephew loved Cheap Trick and stuff. It really made people appreciate kick-ass rock
different
music.
Different kind of music
yeah.
they hadn't heard. Yeah. My kids loved Garbage.
Oh, wow.
They were like, what's this?
Garbage. Right, because that's a band that essentially right. stopped recording about by the time they got old enough to
right.
listen to music. Right.
Which is crazy, but that's bad news. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
They had a good run. They probably made a lot of money, I imagine. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Well, I didn't notice you there, son. You do not have a lot of charisma.
That is correct. Speaking of people who can play guitar, how about the Black Keys?
Yeah.
How about mm-hmm. the Black Keys, by the way?
How about them in studio? Very excited about that.
God, I love those guys.
They are amazing. There are certain people that you can look at and you just go, how are they making this good and all that noise?
Right. And they're the kind of band that I've loved for years and never in a million years thought would get popular. Like, how does their kind of sweaty, sexy blues rock music, how would something like that ever break through? It's just not the type of music that people listen to for reals,
Yeah, in mass quantity. Yeah, that's
true. In mass quantities. But the answer is they're great. That's how they broke through, because they're that talented.
So we got them today. We have Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to him about everything that's going on in the world.
He's coming out on stage with Eminem at the Grammys, I hear, by the way. They're going to be performing together on stage on Sunday. Because, Dr. Drew's got that new album coming out
Dr. Dre. I think you're talking about Dr. Dre.
I'm sorry. My mistake.
You don't get to play the applause for your own jokes. That is illegal. Okay. That is a violation, sir. Sarah Shahi.
Oh!
Okay, we got it.
She's attractive, Lisa. That's my point.
Yes, she is.
It's coming into the studio.
Did that not come through?
Not really, no. Until you tell us that you didn't use your hands, and then it did.
I didn't use my hands either.
She's got a new show called Fairly Legal.
And, yes, she does.
It's fairly great. I don't know what that means.
No, I don't either.
We're going to talk about the cheapest family alive. They failed to impress. I got to be honest.
I agree.
We saw them on the Today Show, cheapest family alive, cheapest family in America, cheapest family. They kept going, and they were giving tips to people on how to, save money. And they didn't really do much. My man Bean kicked their asses.
Yeah.
By the way, our friend Frank Murphy, who we must discuss later on, 10 times cheaper than the cheapest family alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my friend Frank Murphy, listen to this real quick. He and his wife, they got points or miles or something like that. They didn't pay a dime. They went to Hawaii for their 20th wedding anniversary. Okay. Frank made his wife
pack all of the food that they were going to eat while they were in Hawaii. So they didn't have to eat out while they were there. I'm not joking, because they were staying in like one of those little rooms that has a hot pot or something, you know, where you can cook. They had to pack like canned food and things like that to take with them. Not a joke.
Oh, my God.
He should be on the Today Show as the cheapest man in the world, right?
He's the guy who would go through the ruse of getting out his wallet when we went out to eat. And, I mean, we would just go get, you know, $2 meal or something. It's just the diner or something.
Right.
He would pull out his wallet, and he would have, like, two $1 bills in there. And he would just kind of start rubbing them a little and kind of acting like he was going to pull it out. But he was really waiting for someone else at the table to go, I got it. Don't worry.
Of course.
He would sit there, and Bean and I would sometimes we go, no one offered to pay. Let's see how long Frank just sits there. And he would not ever pull. He prided himself. He'd go, the same $2 I had in my wallet last week.
That's right.
It's crazy. So cheapest family in the world failed to impress. We have listeners that do more. So we're going to take your calls today. We also have tickets for you to go to the Kevin and Bean Love on the Rock singles party, which is always a good time. And we're going to talk to Mike Henry from the Cleveland show. He's doing a NBA superstar episode where he has, LeBron James and a bunch of other NBA superstars that are on his show. So that's very exciting. We'll talk to him coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
So thought one was, don't they check it out and make sure it's okay? And thought two is, I forgot what thought two is.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I love how everyone was just waiting because they all were anticipating that I would
thought two. Yeah. You need some meat water, man. That'll help you. Clear you out. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday. How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on?
Good to see you.
Good to be seen.
Missed you yesterday.
Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz are getting divorced. How about that? Yeah, apparently. She has filed for divorce from her Fallout Boy bassist husband. Yeah, this is a problem. We need to encourage all the douchebags to stay together, because once they split up, then they're out in the world, and they run the risk of a decent person ending up with a douchebag.
Infect the regular people, yeah.
I mean, we need the Ashley Simpson and the Pete Wentz of the world to stick together, so that it takes them out of the way of the rest of us, right?
That's not a bad thought, actually. But no. Can you force them? I mean, is that something the government can do?
I'm looking at this legislation as we speak to see if that can happen. They do have a 2-year-old son, Bronx Mowgli. And they are looking to share physical custody of that boy and also child support. Here's the thing. They don't have a prenup. So who do you think is the richest of Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz between those two?
I would guess it would have to be Pete Wentz.
You would think, right?
But the reason you asked that is because it isn't.
No, I don't know the answer to it. I just, when I saw they didn't have a prenup, I was just wondering who was going to benefit from that.
I would think he's way richer than she is.
I would think, too, I guess. But either way, he's going to pay. Looks like there may be a reason for the split. It could be all about his new band. He's got a new band called the Black Cards, and there is a beautiful female vocalist in that band called BB RZA.
Uh-oh.
And according to In Touch magazine, it could be that young lady who is coming between Pete and Ashley. Apparently, Ashley Simpson Wentz is very insecure about this young lady and doesn't like the fact that Pete spends so much time with her. And the fact she can sing, that's got to be a source of insecurity for Ashley as well. She doesn't have to do a jig and sing to backup tracks. Carrie Underwood's not pregnant, just anybody who was curious. Rumors on the internet this week were that she was, but she and husband Mike Fisher said they're just enjoying each other. They're not rushing to have any kids, so don't believe anything you hear.
All right,
you got that? Mel Gibson isn't divorced.
What?
Do you believe he's still not divorced from his wife yet?
No. Really?
Yeah. Mel's been in court forever, of course, with this drama regarding his baby mama, Oksana Grigorieva. But he still hasn't wrapped up his divorce from his wife of 28 years, Robin Moore. She filed nearly 2 years ago. Apparently, he refuses to get off the blocks when it comes to going through with this divorce.
I don't care.
That could likely complicate any settlement that Mel has with Oksana, since Robin will likely get half of Mel's estimated $1 billion fortune when the divorce is finalized. So how much are you going to give the girlfriend when the wife still has her hand out?
That's provocative, okay?
That's a good question.
I can't believe Mel still has $1 billion, by the way. That's pretty strong.
It's a lot of money.
Considering he lost so much money, apparently, in the past couple years with paying for her recording career and all kinds of stuff.
Right. Yeah, but he made... Remember, he was financing his own movies for a bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way to...
Well, he made Passion of the Christ money. That's what put him over the top. And Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson are back together again. The couple split up, but apparently now they have put aside their disagreements and they are back together again, so everyone can rejoice that Rachel Bilson and Hayden Christensen are back together again.
Oh, wow.
You're right, Bean?
What? What'd you think? Okay? Yeah, I am. Well, it's my error. I was thinking of Hayden Panettiere, and I thought, this is good news that I didn't know about, but now I realize you're talking about the worst Hayden.
Yeah.
The bad Hayden, not the good one.
Darth Vader Hayden. And Vanessa Minnillo. Oh.
Yes. Now I know who you're talking about.
Is talking about weddings, just like every other bride on the planet. She wants to look perfect at her wedding, which is against Kevin's...
look.
Kevin's theory, by the way.
Get fat. Listen to me, people. Get fat.
Listen to Kevin.
Take your wedding photos, and then for the rest of your life, people will look at your wedding photo, and then they'll look at you, and they'll go, you look great.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, people look their best in their wedding photo, and then for the rest of their life, people go, oh, yeah, that's... you don't look as good as you
can't argue with that. That is sound logic.
It is. Vanessa Minnillo is not heeding your wisdom, however. Mm. She has hired a personal trainer, and she is starting hardcore workouts. They say she's training like an athlete for a marathon, getting ready for her wedding day so she can fit into the dress that she wants and look as good as she wants. And I thought she looked good to start with. I don't know what she's going to end up looking like on the other end.
Did you see her on 30 Rock last week, Ralph?
I did.
Wow, is she hot.
Yeah, she's very attractive. It's a good thing she's attractive. So I watched that show and saying, ooh, of all the good actors on this show, one of these things is not like the other.
Who doesn't fit?
Yeah, she's a little bit of a sore thumb.
Did she wear funny hats?
She didn't. No, right. If she had worn funny hats that had funny slogans on them, I think she would have been a lot funnier.
All right.
I still don't care for that. I love 30 Rock. I hated it when it came on. It was not good when it came on. Then it got great, and I think it's still one of the funny shows on television. I'm still not a fan of the funny hats.
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't.
I don't.
True.
I just don't.
It's not.
Emma Roberts has a new boyfriend. Of course, the niece of Julia Roberts and daughter of Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
She's been dating Dave Franco, who's the younger brother of actor James Franco. Do all celebrities just have to just breed amongst themselves?
I would think so.
Or can they ever go outside the fence there and be with some of us regular folks?
That's a good question. Maybe it's just that's who they hang out with. I don't know.
I guess that's who they're exposed to. It just seems... Mila Kunis, by the way.
Oh!
Man, you got all hot chick report today.
It is a hot chick report.
Nice.
She, of course, was dating Macaulay Culkin for a long time. Reportedly, they had split up, and then they were seen hanging out and talking to each other again, but apparently they're just trying to be friends because Mila may have a new gentleman in her life. At the SAG Awards after party, looked like Justin Timberlake got very close to Mila Kunis and was trying to bring sexy back into her pants.
What?
Don't you get the idea that he can just point? He can just sit in a throne and point?
Yeah.
JT?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think he does all right for himself.
But you know what's interesting? Unlike the other guys like that who date everyone in Hollywood, Justin Timberlake seems like a good dude. He seems like he's nice to the ladies, and they still like him afterwards.
You put your name on the waiting list, Bean?
No. You know what I'm saying, though? He doesn't seem like he's just plowing through Hollywood using and abusing. He seems like a genuinely good guy that the women seem to enjoy.
Okay.
I'm giving him a compliment.
I don't know what you're getting that from, but all right. You're just getting that from the lack of stories to the opposite?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Exactly.
You know Bean's got a JT poster up somewhere in his room. That's all. I just don't want to hear him start talking about these sexy, sweaty Black Keys again. I just don't want to hear any more of that.
Yeah.
It was very disturbing this morning.
Let's talk about their music. Come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Robert Wagner. Heart to Heart. Remember Heart to Heart with him?
I remember it existed.
Stephanie Powers. Oh, when they met, it was murder. You don't remember that, in the opening of that show?
No, was it a private eye thing?
Yeah, detective show. They were a rich couple they were like millionaires, and they spent their time as amateur sleuths solving crimes.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so good.
Not good.
When they met, it was murder, they would say, at the beginning of the show. Wow. See what they've done there?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Robert Wagner's 81 years old, soon to be the new Charlie in the new Charlie's Angels. Actress Laura Dern turns 44 years old today. Actress Elizabeth Banks, speaking of 30 Rock.
Love her.
She is so good. 37 years old today. Emma Roberts. Just talking about her, too. She is 20 years old today. And actress Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass. She was Hit Girl in that show, and she was also recently in Let Me In. She's 14 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Don't forget this afternoon, by the way, Stryker has Arcade Fire on.
What?
How about that?
They're way too popular to stop by on Stryker's show. What's that about?
They're going to join Stryker, and they're going to do the grand prize drawing for a trip for two to Valencia, Spain to see them.
That's the good Valencia.
That is the good one, yes. It's not Awesome Town, but it is in Spain. So tune in with Stryker this afternoon for Arcade Fire. We've got Black Keys coming in this morning. How about that? It is 6:18 now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you go to kevinandbean.com right now, you'll be asked this question. Do you want to smell like Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian? Kevin, your answer.
No.
No.
I admire him as a basketball player and all, but he is an NBA player. So right. I'm guessing that scent isn't the best.
Mm-hmm. In other words, the locker room scent never goes away.
Right. What you're saying. Right. Yeah.
Well, they do have a perfume out. And by the way, Lisa, you're the one to ask about this. Is this a trend now where men and women are wearing the same scent? That doesn't make any sense to me.
They say it's unisex, which means men and women both smell the same.
Is that a thing, Lisa?
No, that is new to me. I was not aware.
You want to hear the commercial?
Sure.
This is they're naked, it looks like, and he's giving her a piggyback ride, which automatically makes me think, oh, you're going to injure him. Get off.
There's something sexy about a couple sharing a scent. Soft yet powerful, strong but sensual.
That perfect mix of masculine and feminine. There is a beauty of believing one cannot exist without the other.
That sometimes the bond between two souls is truly unbreakable.
Introducing a one-of-a-kind unisex fragrance, Unbreakable, by Khloé and Lamar, available at Perfumania.
All right, we asked producer Alex to line up the great Lamar Odom from Los Angeles Lakers. He joins us on the phone now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lamar.
How are you doing, good?
Yeah. Well, congratulations on this perfume, I guess.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Perfumania.
Perfumania.
Perfumania
right.
is where you go to buy it.
Perfumania, you're going to buy it.
Right.
Unbreakable.
Now, is this a commercial, a trick shot? You're not really lifting Khloé up on your back, are you? You can't lift that much weight.
You funny, man.
Yeah, he is. You are a strong guy, but...
Yeah, I'm a strong guy.
Yeah. And I admire you as a basketball player.
I admire you as whatever you do.
I don't do it well, so don't. But I don't know that I want to smell like you mixed with Khloé.
Well, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful,
beautiful
scent when we mix it together. It's love and passion.
And, love and passion?
It's like Three Musketeers and salmon.
Oh.
Mm.
that's what it smells like?
Yeah. It's like, clam and good and plenty.
Oh, man.
It's like Almond Joy and albacore.
Right?
I think we get it. Right.
Like Reese's Pieces and trout.
Right.
Right. It's a sweet thing and then it's a fishy thing. We got that.
Now, I didn't think we understood it, did you?
You're funny, yeah.
This seems like it wasn't your idea, Lamar. The Kardashians seem to want to put their name on every single possible product there is to sell.
Yeah, it's because they like money.
They do like money.
Kardashians like money.
Right.
And. Right. If you marry a Kardashian, you got to start to produce.
You have to produce for the family?
You
oh,
gotta
I see.
You got to start earning.
I didn't know that.
Right, like the mom.
It's like being with a pimp.
Okay.
Kris Jenner is a pimp.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
And she makes you earn. If you don't earn for the family, then she cut you.
Wow. That's rough.
So I had to not only play basketball, but I got to do a reality show, and I got to also come up with a fragrance.
Now, are the guys on the team... giving you a hard time about the commercial and the fragrance?
No, they give me a hard time about having sex with Khloé.
Okay.
Well,
not,
that makes
but
sense.
But not the commercial. So
okay,
much.
Good enough.
So right. They're too busy making fun of one thing to get attention to the other.
I see. Okay. All right.
Look, you're a professional basketball player and a good-looking guy. Why did you have to marry the bad Kardashian sister? What's up with that?
Oh, damn. She's coming.
Is that her?
Yeah, Khloé's coming. Oh, Khloé's coming. I don't know where to hide. I got no place to hide.
Just act like you're not talking,
Ben. Hello? Who's this?
Hi, Khloé. It's,
who's this on the phone?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
How are you? We were just talking about how great your new scent sounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it sounds like it smells really good.
I get the sense you were mocking it.
No, not at all. We like everything that you do, we say, so that you don't crush us with your enormous fists.
I don't believe you for a second. I think you're pouring poison into the ear of my man.
We're not. We
and
were
I
not
won't have it.
We're not at all.
Not at all.
I heard some disparaging comments coming from this room.
Nope.
And I'm a very busy businesswoman, and I don't have time for this.
Okay.
What is that?
What the hell is that, Chloe?
I've got some whales out in the pool.
Why do you have whales in the pool?
Because we're making our perfume.
You make the perfume there at your house?
Yes, I need the ambergris, which is the oil of the whale.
Okay.
So I have to get in the pool and murder them with my own hands.
Oh, no.
You don't kill a whale.
The oil from the whale in order to manufacture the perfume.
But don't kill the whale, Chloe.
Well, that's the only way they give up the oil.
They don't. Oh,
okay,
man.
Your cologne is not worth murdering an animal for, Chloe.
Smelled it, it really is.
Well, I doubt it.
You can smell me after I've been wrestling with a whale for a while.
We'd rather not.
Like heaven.
Why would? How could one human take on a whale, by the way?
Have you ever seen me?
That's true. That's a good point.
Yep, that's a whale.
I'm coming, sweetheart.
Oh, okay. We'll let you get to that.
I have to go kill the whale.
All right. Good luck with that.
I hope that's a euphemism.
All right. Bye now. Oh, poor whale. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, The Black Keys, in studio later on today. Also, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky and actress Sarah Shahi. That's all coming up right now, though, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Give me a little Cleveland show love, would you?
My name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to be right back in my hometown with my new family.
Yeah! Cleveland Show, part of the amazing animated lineup of television shows on Fox Sunday nights. It airs at 9:30. It's always a thrill to have Mr. Mike Henry on the program, co-creator and executive producer of the Cleveland Show, back on the Kevin and Bean program. How are you, Mike?
Good morning, fellas.
Yeah! There's our guy. How you been? How's the show doing? How's Sunday nights treating you?
Sunday nights are treating us well, man. We're having a lot of fun, getting some good ratings, and a lot of cool people coming on our show, so I can't complain.
Speaking of a lot of cool people coming on your show, let's talk about the NBA All-Star Game. That is a week from Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's not this weekend, but the next weekend.
Okay, but your show is this weekend, the NBA special.
Yeah, we're jumping the gun on the All-Star Game. Actually, Cleveland and Donna go out to L.A. to go to the game and get drunk and heckle all the players who get very upset and come to beat his ass in Richmond in School Bend, Virginia.
How does an idea like this come about? I mean, I know you get ideas and inspiration from everywhere, but I mean, are you a basketball fan? You were looking for a way to work with some of these guys, or did it come out of some other, hey, let's take Cleveland to L.A.? What would he do when he gets out there? What were you thinking?
No, actually, my partner Rich Appel is a basketball fan and is tight with some guys who run the NBA, and he had this idea of, hey, let's try to get these All-Stars. And so he made a call, and once we got to people like LeBron James and Kevin Garnett, they were like, yeah. So we actually got LeBron and Kevin Garnett, Shaq, Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash, Dwayne Wade, and Dwight Howard. All of them are doing their voices on this show.
Why couldn't you get players that we've heard of? That's an amazing list. There's two parts to this episode. One is you get offered tickets to the game, and here's a clip of that.
I don't want to sound racist, but the company got two courtside tickets to the NBA All-Star Game in Los Angeles, and I'd like to give them to you.
Is there sadomy involved?
No. I just thought someone of your hue would enjoy watching some basketball.
Well, you've got that right. Thanks, you racist son bitch.
Someone of your hue. I'm going to start working that in. That's awesome,
your
Mike.
Yeah.
By the way, how did LeBron James agree to do this, and I didn't know about it by watching a one-hour-long ESPN special of him deciding whether or not he was going to be on
the
program?
Decision.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the spotlight is on that guy for sure.
I've decided I'm going to take my talents to the Cleveland show.
You know, he was hilarious. All those guys were honestly very funny, you know, and you're always nervous when you get somebody that's not an actor. And actually, all of those guys understood the jokes and nailed them, so it was cool.
Did LeBron ever make a comment about how it's ironic that it's called the Cleveland show?
Well, I must admit, we do button the show. We end the show with a little joke about that.
You know, one of the risks of, again, we're talking to Mike Henry, co-creator, executive producer of the Cleveland Show, special NBA All-Star episode airing this Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. One of the risks involved of you bringing celebrities into your fold is doing an animated voice is a lot harder than most people know. show. I mean, you have professional people like yourself doing it on the show, and you know how to do it. But not everybody, just because they're famous, can walk in off the street and do it the way that sounds good in a cartoon, right?
Yeah, it's you know, you just gotta be sharp and deliver the lines with you know with intent. And you know, we have had a couple instances where people just didn't do what we needed, and we just quietly replaced them. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Mike, that happened to Kevin and Bean. That happened to us. We got a call a few years ago to do King of the Hill, which was a great, great show. You remember on Fox. We love that show. We're huge fans of Mike Judge, and we're like, are you kidding me? So they sent us out the script, and we laid it all down. Time went by, didn't hear anything. Eventually, we did the follow-up. They're like, yeah, we went a different direction. So, look,
it's a skill.
It is a skill.
It's a skill that we don't have. All right, did you have the least faith in? Kevin Garnett, Dwight Howard, LeBron James, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwayne Wade. Who are you afraid of? Because I'm guessing Steve Nash.
You know what? You're exactly right. off the top of your head, you hear all those other guys talk all the time, and I just wasn't even sure what Steve Nash sounded like, but we play a bit with him where he just basically can't stop laughing at the bad jokes that the other players are saying.
Oh, that's
funny.
So, yeah.
Did you have to record these all over the country and on little microphones at various arenas backstage and everything, and then just try to edit it all together in the editing room?
You know what? I sat on this same phone and talked to each one of those guys. We have the beauty of what we do is you can record from anywhere as long as you got a good studio. So, you know, there's no way we were going to track all those guys down and get them in somewhere all together. So we just did it over the phone. And
Listened while they did it. And I
direct people over the phone all the time. We have actors in New York, Jason Sudeikis, among others, who, you know, every couple weeks we have a phone session from there. So
that's normal. Yeah. All right.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of clip again of the Cleveland show, the NBA special episode airing this Sunday night on Fox. Now, Kevin, we don't know who's in this clip. I think
it's Shaquille O'Neal, and I'm not sure who else. Maybe you can tell us, Mike. They're talking about not wanting to dribble.
Yeah.
That scene. Okay.
Anybody else tired of always having to dribble the ball whenever you want to move?
Man, I hate dribbling, and it can't be good for the floor.
Shaq's right. Hey, if we all get together and say we're not going to dribble anymore, what are they going to do?
And why can't we play in the morning? And then just get on with our day. I have a garden. Flowers, tomatoes, nectarines.
Who was that?
that was LeBron, Kevin Garnett, and Shaq.
So who had the garden? Was that LeBron?
That was Shaq, and Shaq. He actually improvised with the line just as we gave it to him, just said garden, and he just started going on this list of specific things in his garden. So he is the
Shaq Diesel. I hope you haven't forgotten that already, Mike. Come on.
He is hilarious. I said, Sanaa Lathan plays my wife, and he's like, tell her now that I'm divorced. She can play my wife.
Well, it looks like a hilarious episode.
Yeah.
This Sunday night on Fox at 9:30. And then, by the way, the following week, not to get too far ahead, but Sunday, February 20th, you got JT, Justin Timberlake, stops by on the Cleveland show.
Justin's playing a singing booger for us.
Sure he is.
Singing booger.
Yeah, Lil Rallo's trying to kick the habit. And he has a goodbye ballad with his last booger called I Gotta Flick You Goodbye.
Well, the show continues to be awesome, Mike, and we always appreciate you carving out some time to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks a lot.
Anytime, man. Thanks, guys.
Cleveland Show NBA special episode Sunday at 9:30 on Fox. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:52.
Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you've got the DirecTV, right?
I do.
How about that series finale of Friday Night Lights last night?
No.
Ralph.
I'm sorry,
you missed
was that
it?
On?
You missed you didn't
Oh, I can't believe I missed it.
5 years and it's over last night?
5 years. Oh, it feels like 5 minutes.
Don't you have to get like 15 minutes on each channel and then edit
them
together?
No, it's not like that. No. They just air it.
You got to send in a box top, I think, from Cheerios, and then there's a code that you enter.
No.
You download the address of one of the main actors, and you go to his house, and there's like a box out front with a lock on it, and you have to find which key fits, and then you get the episode, and you get to watch
it's on Channel 101, and it airs commercial-free every Wednesday night at 6. Or that happened all season long for the last 2 years. Come on, guys.
Well, it was a smart move, because it just drove so many viewers to it that it... Oh, that's right. No one watched.
No.
Yeah. By the way, the one episode that I did watch was great.
There you go.
It was a great show.
It's a really good show. And it had Minka Kelly on it, for God's sake.
Yes, well, there you go.
Had a lot of hot chicks on it. But yeah. I can only work so hard to see a show.
It's not that hard.
Really, I don't know how to meet a guy in a van out in front of a, a grocery store.
All right. Here's Ralph Dowd to talk about shows he does watch.
In words of Kevin Ryder, I'm very busy. I'm very busy.
Very busy. Too busy for quality of that kind.
I don't have time to watch everything. You know what? You're not watching Southland, so bite me.
Yeah.
What do you know?
I feel like I missed the boat on that one. That's I certainly should be.
Oh, there's plenty of time.
It's still on the air, too. Yeah. Yeah. So you got that going for you.
You know what's happening? New episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, is that a good show.
That is good.
Did you catch Mr. Sunshine last night?
Did not.
The new Matthew Perry show?
Now, we're boycotting Matthew Perry.
Look, just because a guy stands you up a couple times.
In a row.
Doesn't mean you have to get all bitter.
After confirming and promising he'd be on, yeah.
I think there's some real potential for that show.
Nope.
The first show is uneven. As pilots tend to be, because there's a lot of exposition you got to get out, you know?
Right.
But there were some very funny moments in it. And Allison Janney is in it, and she was hilarious last night.
Loved her on The West Wing.
She plays a drug-addled, rich, old cougar who owns this arena that Matthew Perry runs down in San Diego. It's the premises. She owns, like, a Staples Center-type place.
It looked funny.
And last night's episode was very funny.
I'll watch Allison Janney in her next show, the one that Matthew Perry's not on.
Wow. Better party of one.
Not ever. No way.
I think he made the right call.
She decided she needed a PR boost, so she decides to give some money to an inner-city charity. And she wants to get a photo op. So she says, I need kids. Give me a black and an Asian.
Like she's ordering off a menu?
Exactly. Yeah. It was very funny.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I think Matthew Perry did the right thing by not coming on our show.
He may very well have.
I'm supporting him in that.
Might have been the smartest decision he's made in his career in a long time. So
nope.
I'm not going to miss a good show because of that, I'll tell you that. I'm going to watch it now.
Showbiz news. Looks like Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz are going to be divorcing.
Who do you think was the drama in that relationship?
I think they're both just massive douchebags.
Equal drama?
Yeah. I think, I just feel bad because they got a kid.
Yeah.
2-year-old son named Bronx Mowgli.
Is it too late
I feel bad because his name is Bronx Mowgli.
Is it too late to change that?
His name?
The name?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what age they start to come when you call them. I haven't gotten
they're
that not, far with my own parenthood yet.
They're
so,
not dogs.
Yeah, they're kind of like dogs.
Well, no, not really.
Yeah, when they do something good, you go, oh, that's good, you're a good, yes, yeah, you're good. True. They do all that. I'm telling you, early on, it's very much like having a puppy I've found so far.
They poop wherever they want.
Exactly. And you clean it up.
That's true.
And you got to feed them, you know. They can't get their own food. You got to feed them. It's a lot like having a puppy.
All right.
Ashley and Pete are divorcing. Now, rumor is that it could be because of Ashley being resentful of the singer in Pete's new band. He's got a new band called the Black Cards. Does this mean the Fall Out Boys no more? Have they split up for good?
It does seem like every member is in a different band.
I think so, yeah.
Well, see, there's a silver lining to every dark cloud. No more Fall Out Boy.
She should know, though. He's not interested in her. Come on.
Her name is Baby RZA, and she's the vocalist for his new band. Apparently, she is a beautiful woman with dark hair and curves, and Ashley feels very insecure with Pete spending a lot of time around her, according to In Touch magazine. So perhaps that caused some problems in
She's
the relationship.
Pretty hot.
Well, there you go. Ashley Simpson is not, especially now that she got her hair cut like Peter Pan. She's specifically not a very attractive woman. So,
but she's a talented musician.
She does have that going for her. She is a gifted artist. Speaking of singers, John Mayer has told Us Weekly magazine he now regrets his very public dating life.
Really?
Yeah, he says he's embarrassed by his reputation as a lady killer. Oh, shut up. He says he blames himself for shooting off his big mouth about intimate details of his relationships with Jessica Simpson and Jennifer Aniston and others. He says he now wants to change people's minds about him. Yeah, you do. This is another ploy. This is another John Mayer ploy. Oh, I'm really not a lady killer. No, I love the ladies. I'm very sensitive. And bow, chicka, bow, bow. Yeah. They just line up more broads for himself. It's the anti-game game. Now he's trying the other side. He got all the good rep he could possibly get by talking about sexual details with all these celebrities, and now he's going for the other.
Dave's already cornered the market on the no game game. He can't pull that.
Yeah, it's true. We can't call it that.
Dave the homomexual?
Yeah.
Someone suggested that be his new name instead of the Mexicutioner.
I'd like to keep using the Mexicutioner because Dave might get killed. We can
For
say
using it.
Yeah.
He might get Mexicuted?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
The Mexicutioner tweeted I will kill you if you use it after 10 days. And it's been longer than 10 days, so let's keep using it. And Dave will go down.
All right. Did Dave stand you up in an interview for 2 days in a row, too? What's
this
the anger towards Dave?
This is just a fun idea.
It'll just be fun to see Dave get beaten?
Yeah.
All right. This is a rough room. Another day, another criminal drama for Lindsay Lohan. She was in court yesterday and, as expected, was slapped with a felony theft charge for allegedly stealing a $2,500 necklace. But, magically, inexplicably, she managed to avoid heading to the Slammer. The judge took pity on the young starlet and said, "Now look, seriously, I'm serious. Next time, you're going to be in big, big trouble." He did not send her away for any particular jail time. He did give her a bail amount of $20,000 for the new charge and another of $20,000 for violating her probation. So with bail set at $40,000, she was able to walk out of the court. And this thing's going to go to trial, apparently.
I've got a question for you guys. I don't know how true it is, but I've always heard that you're supposed to dress conservatively so as not to offend the court, whatever that means.
Not if you're Lindsay Lohan.
She showed up in that super tight white dress yesterday,
so hot.
Like she was on a red carpet at one of her movie premieres.
Yeah,
it was
great.
Unbelievable how hot she
is. That's why she's not in prison.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe. What other reason could there possibly be? Judge must have gone, All right.
Yeah,
like
check
that.
It out. Thank you for the effort, Ms. Lohan.
Guys need to wear suits.
The court appreciates the fact that you showed up in that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens here. In a related story, CBS has announced they are starting a brand new drama called CSI Lindsay Lohan. It's just based on crimes that she commits. They have just episode after episode of her stealing stuff and doing drugs and things.
Looks good in that dress. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of legal news, I'm very happy to hear that Jerry Jones may be sued.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, not at the Super Bowl. It looked like several hundred people were turned away from the event despite having tickets because the seats that they had were deemed to be structurally flawed and presented a safety hazard. There were seats that were kept open because they were afraid of people sat there.
He was
bad
trying to set the world record for attendance and all that BS.
Yeah. So they were turned away from the Super Bowl even though they had tickets. And then some law firm contacted those ticket holders and said, "Hey, how about we get together and file a lawsuit on your behalf?" The total claim apparently is $5 million. They're suing Jerry and the NFL. They're suing them for deception, which I guess is true. If you spend good money on a ticket, I guess you expect to be able to sit down and watch the event.
By the way, some of these people could have been from, you know, other places in the country.
I'm sure they were.
They got to get a hotel. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So hopefully Jerry Jones will be hit for $5 million. That'd be fun.
Because he's the owner of the Cowboys?
Yeah, exactly. He's got a bad plastic surgery job, too. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Wagner. Legendary TV icon is 81 years old today. Actress Laura Dern celebrates her 44th birthday. Elizabeth Banks celebrates her 37th. And actress Emma Roberts turns 20, where actress Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass turns 14 years old today. How can you be that talented at 14 years old? It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
1 hour away from the Black Keys, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited. Looking forward to that. I believe they're Grammy nominated and in town this weekend, and I think they're playing the Conan show tonight, too. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program with his Thursday visit. First, though, we have to revisit something that we talked about a little bit on yesterday's show. Kevin, you caught, out of the corner of your eye, you caught a story on the Today Show about the world's cheapest family. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what it said, the world's cheapest family. So I thought, oh, this is going to be funny, because immediately what came to my mind is Bean will give them a run for their money. I mean, Bean really is... He's cheaper than they are, no matter who they are. So we played some clips from it, and right after I played the first clip, Bean said, "I don't know, that doesn't strike that doesn't just strike me as being very cheap." So here's a couple of highlights from that interview.
When it comes to being thrifty, the economy these family corners the market.
These cuts of meat are going out of code, which means they're going to be expired in a couple of days. You can get great deals.
We spend $350 a month for groceries, and that includes toiletries, paper goods,
cleaning products, personal care items, and of course, all the food. The shirt's $7.
Get a crock pot. Get a freezer. We bought some top sirloin for $1.50 a pound, bought 34 pounds of it, put it in the freezer, and we ate it for 3 months.
You know, life is not about how good you look on the outside. It is about how healthy you are on the inside.
All right, so that was them. That's nothing for me.
Well, it's nothing for a lot of people. Look, they're doing reasonable. In the tight economic times in which many families find themselves right now, there are a lot of people who are saying what this family said on TV, which is you don't eat out as much. You figure out a way to stretch your food dollar that goes further. You figure out a way to reuse things. I mean, that just makes good common sense.
But I'm saying they took the title that you rightly deserve as cheapest.
I'm not anywhere near
cheap. And they crowned someone else.
Compared to a lot of people. Look, I'll remind you again of our former producer and good friend Frank Murphy, who used to work on this program.
Sure.
He's the cheapest guy I ever met in my life. I mean, he's the kind of guy that I would call, and the voicemail message on his machine would say, I'll call you back at 6 p.m. when the night rates come up. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Now, most, you know, almost all cell phone plans, it doesn't matter what time of day you call. But, you know, back in the day, it cost more to call at 5 p.m. than it did at 6 p.m. He wouldn't make any phone calls during the day. I mean, that's how cheap Frank was. That's the type of thing that he would do, the type of thing that would drive his friends and family just crazy. And I mentioned earlier today, but it bears repeating for folks who weren't listening. He took his wife because he had accumulated enough points. He took his wife on a vacation to Hawaii one time for their 20th wedding anniversary, but he made her pack all of the food that they were going to eat while they were gone. They were going to cook in their little dinette in their hotel room. They were going to cook everything there in Hawaii. She had to pack it and take it with her. Why pack it? Why go through the hassle of packing when you can just buy groceries in Hawaii? Groceries are way too expensive in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Everything costs more in Hawaii. Yeah.
A lot of food.
So buy the food in Tennessee, then fly it to Hawaii, and then make your poor wife cook it on her 20th wedding anniversary, by the way. That's the kind of cheapness that we're looking for here on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You, maybe your parents, a friend of yours, whatever, whoever, because some people are just cheap by nature. Like that guy, Frank, he had the money to go to Hawaii and pay for the food. But it didn't matter because he didn't want to spend the money.
Do you think he would have just had a meltdown if his plan hadn't worked out? I mean, some people, I think, would get so anxious, like they just couldn't handle it.
All I know is we would go out for, like, McDonald's or something. And so, you know, you spend, like, a total of $2.50 or something. And he would pull out his wallet, and there would be $1 in it. And he would just sit there and massage it and look at it and start getting a sad face. And then either Bean or I would go, well, I'll pay. Don't worry about it. And then you go, yes, I've had that $1 for 2 weeks.
Yeah. But my favorite, though, about Frank, though, is we'd sit down. And, of course, you know, this was an ongoing problem because he would never chip in. So he would know that we were thinking that. So when it would come time for him to order, he'd just put his menu down and look at us and go, no, I just won't get anything.
Yeah, all sad like a puppy.
All sad about it.
God, he's now, the worst.
Yeah, but I will say this. I don't know that he's ever put chocolate mix into sour milk so that it lasts longer.
Well, I have done that. That's
you've true. Done. Yeah. And I don't know that he would eat bread with a lot of mold on it. I can't believe how much mold there is on this piece of bread. I mean, that to me, I don't know if that's lazy or cheap. But once you see the mold, once you smell the milk, it's time to move on and get something else. You don't add chocolate mix to sour milk like Bean does.
There are kids in Africa who have nothing, though. I have an obligation not to throw out that milk if I can still
drink
it.
Are you sending any of it to them?
No, I'm not. That's where that expression always falls apart, by the way.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and again, we're going to take your calls. How cheap are you or friends and family members that you know about at 1-800-520-1067? We used to hear, a lot of those people are dying off now, but we used to hear about the old people who had lived through the Depression, who had lost everything and had next to nothing. Those are the people that you always used to hear the stories about who were just, they could never get that image out of their mind, and they just so feverishly had to save every single penny. To the point where it just got crazy. But a guy like Frank is a guy who has grown up as a regular middle-class guy and had a reasonable, regular amount of money. He's always had a job. He's always had money to spend. I don't know where that comes from. It does seem like it goes beyond being thrifty, though.
But let me just ask one more question about you, if you don't mind. You like the hard copy of the CD. You don't want to just download it from iTunes. You like the artwork. You like to put your hands on the CD.
Right.
You'll drive from a Best Buy to Best Buy to Fry's, to any place you can find to get it for $8.99 instead of $9.99.
And that's true.
So we've had this conversation with you before, which is at some point, don't you consider your time and or gas not worth that extra $1?
Yes.
Yes.
But you don't.
Sometimes I do consider that, yes.
But then you just go, no, I can't buy it for $9.99. If I know it's someplace for $8.99, I've got to get it for that price.
That is true when it comes to, yeah, that is true. But I don't think that makes, I don't know what
it
that makes
me. It does make you cheap. It does.
I don't know what that makes me.
It makes you cheap because... you think it's like a conscious thing, like a conscience thing? Like you can't give that person $9.99 because it's available.
I don't know. It just seems to make sense. If something is cheaper somewhere, go to the place where it's cheaper.
Right, but
that's
you
all.
Didn't know where it was cheaper first. You didn't do that research. You just started driving around for like a day, 2 days. He'd look for a CD.
I hope I have gotten smarter. And
what's
now
your time worth?
My time is worth next to nothing. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Christy real quick, and we'll get as many calls as we can on the air with how cheap you or someone you know and love is. Christy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi. I was calling because my grandmother used to take plastic sandwich baggies, and she would wash them and let them air dry and reuse them.
I do that, too. I do the exact same thing.
You do that, too, Bean?
Absolutely. Look, a lot of times this is your grandma. A lot of times you put something in a bag and it doesn't get it all messed up. I mean, if it's meat or something, yeah, you don't want to reuse that. But if you're putting,
a sandwich
in there or something like that, there's no way. There's no reason why you can't use that bag again.
Do you
sure, why not?
Utensils and stuff too.
Do you rinse your plastic utensils, Bean?
I don't really use plastic utensils, but I certainly would. They're certainly reusable.
See, that's what I'm saying. Bean deserves that crown, and somebody else has it. Thank you, Christy, for the call. There is no such thing.
She screamed. All right, Paul, Corey, everyone else, you hang on. How cheap are you? Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Dear Kevin and Bean, the email from Phil begins, my dad used to take us kids out to dinner. He would just order a bowl of soup. He would eat the soup, and then the kids could get to eat as many crackers as they would bring us. That was our dinner. Now that's the kind of cheap that we're talking about here at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin saw a piece on the Today Show about a family that was billed as the world's cheapest family. I don't think they compare to any of the people that we're talking to here.
Bean destroys them.
Including our friend Alex, who joins us on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Alex, thanks a lot for holding on. We're talking about cheap people. What you got?
I got my boss saves paper towels.
Saves paper towels? Yeah.
So he uses the paper towels to dry his hands, and he has a stack of them that he leaves, flattens out, and dries them so he can use them again.
Now, is he way big into environmental issues or something like that? Is that where he's coming from?
No.
Not really.
No.
He just can't get rid of it because it didn't get its use?
Yeah, he feels like it could be used again.
Now, does he do that with messes or just drying hands? Like, if he's cleaning up a mess with it.
Hopefully just drying his hands, yeah. But we do work in a veterinary hospital, and we get a little dirty.
Yeah.
I bet you do.
Wow.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's talk to our friend Paul Lee. He is on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Paul. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, guys. My dad was so cheap, we came up with a name for him, and it was CCB, Cheap Chinese Bastard.
What did he do?
He used to recycle Christmas cards that were sent to him. He would cut the front covers off the cards and glue them onto another piece of paper and send them back out to people.
Really? So the back page of it was just a blank piece of paper, and then he would write on it?
Right. But you could peel off the old card and see what other people wrote to him.
What?
Oh, my God.
You mean he wouldn't replace it? He would just paper over it?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's awesome. Very thrifty. Well, you know, Christmas cards, man, they can add up when you have to buy 10 of them every year.
Paul, did he pass that down to you? Do you have any of those kind of traits?
I do have cheap tendencies. Like, for the longest time, I wouldn't buy ketchup because you get it free in little packets at a time.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much for the call. By the way, our friend Frank Murphy that we were talking about, I think that's a regular part. He's got that on his schedule every week, is drive around to fast food restaurants and fill up on condiments.
No.
So he doesn't ever have to buy them. I think
nope.
He still does that.
That's not true.
Guillermo writes in, I was lucky enough to take a trip to Paris one time. Everything there is so damned expensive that I just lived on bread and water for 5 days. That's all I ate. 5 days in Paris on bread and water.
With wonderful food in Paris.
Yeah, but if you don't have the money, it sounds like he didn't have the money. That's different. I think that's different. The definition of cheap for me is you have the money, but you won't spend it.
He got all the way there.
I know.
Now, I will tell you on that disclaimer there, Kevin, that I am the type of person who does have the money, but if I think something is too expensive, I won't buy it.
I know.
I just won't buy it. I'll go, I'd rather not eat than pay $28 for that meal. You know what I mean? Because it's too much.
Right, but I can see that for the expensive stuff, of course.
Yeah.
But when I was saying driving around to get a better price on a CD, that's really not too much.
Ed writes in, he's a police officer. During a search warrant, officers located a drawer full of women's used maxi pads.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Nope. When we asked the woman about the pads, she said, oh, those are barely used. I save them and use them again.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about that?
Let's talk to Mike, who has something. Hi, Mike.
Hi. My uncle, he reused, well, doesn't reuse, he snaps toothpicks in half.
Snaps toothpicks in half. I see. So he uses one end and tosses it, and then he uses the other end.
Well, they certainly are expensive. That's understandable.
All right, thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate it.
It does cost like $3 to get 1,000 of them, so I can see what you're talking about.
Let's go to Corey, who's calling us. Hi, Corey.
What a new baby blue. What a Cali girl.
What a
What'd your mom do?
My mom recycles or reuses both garbage bags.
Reuses and garbage bags. So you fill up the garbage bag, take it out to the trash, and then empty it out and bring the garbage bag back in?
And, like, I didn't know this until I threw it away. And she'd go get that bag back. And I'm like, what? I was standing there in my front doorway, like, wait.
So she'd get upset at you because you threw it away.
But then isn't the can all icky?
Yeah, like, one time she made me save it, and it smelled like spoiled milk for 2 weeks.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you don't want to put a trash bag in the trash. I see where you're coming from. Let's try Heather, line 4. Hi, Heather. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's hear your cheap story.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi,
Just
Heather.
Just tell me when you want the cheapest, and we'll go to Dean. Just let me know.
Right. Okay. We'll do Dean right after Heather.
At what point that is. Hi, Heather.
Hey, so my mom, we'd go through the drive-thru at, like, Taco Bell or whatever. Mm-hmm. She would have us jump out of the car and get the change that people dropped by the side of the window.
Oh, that's awesome. I've done that, too. When you drop a little bit of change, you go, is it worth getting out of the car and all that?
And maybe having to back up.
Yeah. Right. So she would have you go check, or did she see change and she would have you jump out?
She would have us go check.
Go check.
I mean, you know, it wasn't even her change, but right. Hey, there's a few pennies down there. Why not?
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Thank you, Heather.
Mike, your boyfriend Micah writes in, his dad reuses dental floss. He grabs a longer than normal piece, so if that one small part starts to get frayed, he can just use a spot an inch to the side. Dental floss he uses.
You ready for the closer? That? Everybody
I'm ready?
Yes, we
Give
are.
Me Dean.
Let's go to Dean.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. Lisa May. How
Hi,
you
Dean.
Doing?
We've had a lot of stories. We've had reused sandwich bags. We've had chocolate mix and sour milk. We've had ketchup packs. We've had get change. Yours wins. What is it?
This one has the ew factor to it. My parents told me when they were growing up, they grew up after World War II in Europe, they used to rinse out and reuse condoms.
There you go.
Oh. Yay!
That's it. And that is how we got the dean That's that it. We're talking to now. This Saturday night, the Kevin and Bean Show is going to be at Love on the Rocks. That's our party. On the Rocks is the location in Hollywood, West Sunset Boulevard, just above the Roxy. DJ Omar Khan is going to be spinning. It's our latest singles party for Valentine's Day weekend. Oh, I forgot.
Love on the Rocks with Kevin and Bean.
How could I have forgotten this masterpiece?
One guy is stupid, the other one's mean. If you're alone, come to the party and bone someone new.
Our party. I like that because it's subtle.
Is brought to us by our friends at Hall Pass, 1 week, no rules. That's the new film with Owen Wilson and Jenna Fischer, Jason Sudeikis, and more in theaters Friday, February 25th. And while we're there, we'll be videotaping you to tell us why you want to go to Australia, a trip to Sydney, Australia, to ring in the new year in December. We'll put the finalist videos up at kevinandbean.com, and then people will vote next week to see who wins the trip to Australia.
Nice.
Thank you, Oprah.
What are we looking for this time around for calls?
We are looking for the worst romantic gift. Now, I would guess that it's going to be all women. Wouldn't you guess the same?
Because the guys give the bad presents. Is
worst
that what
romantic gift. Yeah, it just seems like guys don't pay attention enough. And girls, by the way, to their detriment, might have some pretty high hopes.
All right, well, that's an excellent point. All right, let's see if you're right. Let's talk to Sarah to get us started here on line 2. So we're looking for the worst romantic gift you ever got. That way we know you've got a little bit of pain behind you, and then you deserve to come out this weekend and try to make things all better. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Worst romantic gift.
My boyfriend went on vacation, and he was gone for a couple weeks, and he told me that he was going to get me the best gift when he got back, and he got me a tongue scraper.
A tongue scraper?
What is that for? What is the purpose of a tongue scraper?
I don't know. I mean, I guess he had one at his house, and so I always told him, you know, I had no idea what it was. So when he went, he thought it would be a great idea to get me one.
I'm going
to
get her one. She'll love it.
You rub down your tongue after you brush your teeth.
And how long did...
Maybe
it's a hit.
Do you have bad breath?
No, I have no idea.
Well, maybe you do.
And the worst part is he got it for free from his dentist. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. How long did the relationship last after that gift?
It still lasted for a couple years.
All right.
Wow. All right. So you got very low standards. Yeah. Okay. All right, Sarah. You got a single friend you want to come on Saturday night and join us for the party?
Absolutely.
Good enough. Hold on.
Thanks for the call. All right. Let's try. Well, we don't have time for everybody. Let's try Ruth. Ruth is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about bad gifts. Another woman. Hey, Ruth. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Great. One year I received a bicycle helmet from my boyfriend.
Now, wait a minute. Were you an avid bike rider?
Yeah, he wanted to get into it, and he wanted me to join him, so he got me a bike helmet. He was very excited about it.
Was this a Valentine's Day gift by any chance? Was that the problem? Was that the problem? Is it doesn't scream romance?
He wanted to get into it. He wanted her to get into it. This isn't about what she wanted.
All right.
Exactly.
Forgive me for the question, but it's just standard practice. Are you fat? Is that what it was about? He wanted to ride bikes?
Yes, he did.
All right.
Okay. No, I think what Kevin is trying to ask you is, did he insist that you take up bike riding because you were fat and he was trying to get you to lose weight? Is that where this is coming from?
No, it's just that was something he wanted to do.
Okay.
He wanted me there with him.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so a self-centered gift. I got you.
All right. Ruth, you hang on. If you can get past Dave, you can come to the party. I got a bad vibe about Ruth. I don't know about you guys. Not because of the fat. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. All right. Let's try Brian.
Good
Brian
call.
Joins us on Line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the singles party this Saturday night. We are going to give away some via the email, too. We don't have time to talk to everybody on the radio. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, guys. All right. So it was Valentine's Day. My girl told me she wanted to have a really special night in the bedroom. So she got me a 3-inch plastic penis extender.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That would not make any guy feel, make any guy feel like he's not fit to perform. But let me tell you, the reality, she was just a whore.
See, I'm getting a sense here that this is just Brian trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Because I don't think a girl would ever get a guy a penis extender.
Unless Brian really needed a penis extender.
Or she's really a whore.
What Lisa May said. Exactly what Lisa May said.
All right.
Just a girl looking for a good time?
Maybe. Yeah, you just weren't getting the job done, which, by the way, doesn't bode well for the single ladies that are at our party on Saturday night either, by the way.
Now we want to invite this guy who needed a penis extender?
Well, he better change his name.
All right, if you can get past Chip, good luck.
All right, we got to squeeze in Melissa here. Melissa's on line 5, our final call for the Kevin Bean singles party.
We got to go to Alex as well.
We'll have more tickets tomorrow. Hi, Melissa, go ahead.
So I got a new job, and I was at work and got 2 dozen gorgeous pink roses. The biggest roses you ever saw, all sprayed with water.
Wow.
Amazing.
Nice.
And of course, it sounds wonderful. But about 3 weeks later, I received my credit card bill in the mail, and he had put the roses on my credit card.
Oh.
How about that?
Nice.
You paid for your own flowers, like so many other women do in offices on Valentine's Day, by the way.
Yeah, he sent it to my work, so all my coworkers thought he was the greatest boyfriend.
Sweet.
And that's fantastic. Too, for 3 weeks.
He's pretty smart.
This is awesome. You could have called in about people you know that are really cheap, too, by the way. You work for both call-in topics.
That's correct.
All right, Melissa, thank you for the call. Hang on, we'll give you tickets. All right, we'll squeeze in, Alex. We'll get to
Jesus. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
good
really.
Luck with this one.
I mean, come on. Hi, Alex. Oh, wrong one. Sorry. Hi, Alex.
Dad, friend. Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Hi.
Yeah. So, my boyfriend's dad at the time, he had a friend that just opened up a porno shop. So my boyfriend thought it'd be funny to get me a giant anal plug, a fake clit ring, and to top
okay.
it all up.
All right. We can't say all of those details.
How do you say that, Kevin?
I don't know. This may have been a mistake. He got you an.
Can I say that?
Yes.
A ring down under, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so a ring for down under.
Good.
A plug, we'll say that.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Top it all off. He had a mullet that he had been sporting for a couple of months, but I begged for him to cut off, and he finally cut it off for Valentine's Day.
How romantic. He got his hair cut.
Yeah, isn't it?
Really? Yeah. That sound like a winner.
But at plug, aren't you out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're bearing the lead there if you come up with a mullet afterwards.
Well, and the thing is, I actually stayed with him for a good couple of years after that before
Seems to be the case.
What is up with women?
Bad judgment.
It's a great question.
I don't know. All right.
Alex, I feel bad for her and all, but do we want a dumbass bitch in our party?
All right, hang on. If you can get past Dave, we'll see you Saturday night. Thanks for calling. Dan and Patrick from the Black Keys are here. We'll be joining us in studio to talk after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky next hour as well. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What? What's going on? What?
I came in. I was ready to talk sports. I thought Dan Patrick was here.
No.
I thought we were
It's Dan Auerbach and Patrick Carney from the Black Keys.
No, very different.
Confused. Although we can, we can talk to them.
We
about
talk sports. About
sports,
things?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, it's getting near hockey playoff time. I want to talk, playoff hockey.
All right. Just because your stupid Flyers are in first place,
they're doing really well. Flyers versus Canes tonight, 4 o'clock. Check it out. To the 8 people in our audience who watch hockey, besides me and Kevin. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Lindsay Lohan got another huge break yesterday when a judge admonished her for her chronic use of bad judgment. And then decided against sending her to jail for breaking her probation.
Now, you're talking just about the probation. He could have sent her to jail just for breaking the probation. But this doesn't have anything to do with sentence for the stealing the necklace.
The felony grand theft charges brought against her yesterday is a violation of her probation. Those charges still have yet to be seen in front of the judge.
But he could have put her in jail for violating her probation.
That's the only thing he could have given her jail time for.
I see. Okay.
She got in trouble with the law. You can't do that when you're on probation. You've got to keep your nose clean.
Got it.
No pun intended for Lindsay and her cocaine use. But these charges of her stealing this $2,500 necklace from a jewelry store in Venice, California, those charges have been brought, and she will have to face the court for them, which could mean additional jail time if she's found guilty. I mean, we're talking a couple of years if she's found guilty. This is a felony theft charge.
So this isn't jail. This is this federal?
This would be prison. State prison.
State prison.
Yeah.
All right.
Not to mention whatever she would get tacked on for the probation.
Can I see her on lockup? On MSNBC or wherever that is,
lockup?
That'd
be great if you could. You'd get a cavity search. But anyway, the judge could have put her in jail, but opted not to. Gave her bail, $20,000.
Okay.
And said, next time, though, it'll be different. Things will be different if you screw up again. Which seems like, how many chances does she get? Anyway, her mom's speaking out.
Oh, good.
Dina Lohan told a reporter today, it's all good. God has a big plan for Lindsay. So that's why she's not in jail, because God stepped in.
Wow.
Because he's going to call her home the way she's living.
God apparently has nothing else to worry about other than whether Lindsay does jail time or not. Although if you saw her in that white dress yesterday, you might think that God did play a hand somewhere.
I almost got religion looking at those pictures.
It's so funny how our society has changed. A young lady emailed me today and said, look at those pictures of Lindsay Lohan. Her boobs seem so low. What's wrong with her boobs? They seem like somewhere between her shoulders and her stomach. Why are they so low? And I wrote back, they're real. That's the confusing part for a lot of people, is they're not used to seeing large boobs that actually hang down as if gravity has some sort of say in the matter. But Dina says God is taking care of Lindsay, so we don't have to worry anymore.
Plus, Dina's there to guide.
That's right.
With her good advice.
You got that.
She's like God.
Right. And her dad is there, so that's good.
Poor kid. She never had a chance, did she?
Correct.
Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz are divorcing. She has filed for divorce from her husband of nearly 3 years, citing irreconcilable differences. Does that have anything to do with the fact that she can't sing?
I think he knew that going in, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess he must have. Sad news is they have a 2-year-old son named Bronx Mowgli. That's the sad part. His name is Bronx Mowgli, not the fact that they have a 2-year-old. But maybe he can sue them to get that changed. Oprah Winfrey is really pulling out all the stops on her farewell tour. You know, she's going to be leaving her TV show soon.
Apparently, she hasn't mentioned that this season at all.
Yeah, she hasn't mentioned she's going away.
Keeping it kind of low-key this time around for some reason.
Yesterday, she dedicated her show to Susan Lucci.
What?
Of All My Children.
Why?
You only have one season left and you waste a show on freaking Susan Lucci?
Yeah. Apparently, it was a huge ratings grabber, though.
What?
I guess she knows what she's doing.
Does my butt look big?
She brought Susan Lucci out on stage, and then at one point brought out all 8 actors who had played her husbands on All My Children over all these years.
God.
I'm going to miss Oprah Winfrey.
Ma.
I wish she'd stick around.
She will be missed.
Stop it, women.
And Charlie Sheen has announced that he feels a little bad that the cast and crew of Two and a Half Men is taking a bit of a hit because of the unexpected hiatus that was caused by him going into rehab.
Right.
And by rehab, I mean him staying at home in his robe.
Not going into rehab.
He's doing whatever he's doing. So he has offered to pay for one-third of the crew's salaries for the time he's missing, if CBS and Warner Brothers will pony up the other two-thirds of their salary.
I wonder how CBS and Warner Brothers feel about that.
It is kind of putting a gun to their head, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. It makes them look like the bad guy if they don't do it.
And it wasn't their fault.
Not even a little bit. So why should they have to pony up two-thirds of the crew's salaries if he wants to give them some money?
So let me get this straight. If they say no to two-thirds, he won't give them his one-third?
That's what I'm saying.
That's BS.
Not to mention, you know what else is BS? He gave 30 grand to a porn star for showing up to his house doing blow and drinking.
That's true.
You know what else is BS? He spent $500,000 on drugs in the past 6 months alone.
Really?
Yes. He should give them all of the money.
Or all of the drugs. Whatever they choose. Whatever they want.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Two and a Half Men last week, number one show of the night, one of the top 10 shows of the week again. Yeah. No blowback whatsoever from fans of his on that television show.
Well, he's not exactly bigger than ever. Going against character. You know, his personal life is sort of the same as the show.
I think it was TVGuide.com or one of the websites did a poll of fans of the show saying, would this affect you watching the show or not, given the trouble he's gotten into? 86% of the people responded and said, no, we're going to keep watching.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. No matter what he does, he'll still do well. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Robert Wagner, TV icon. He was in Heart to Heart for many years. The show called It Takes a Thief in the 60s was great. He was also number two in the Austin Powers movies to Dr. Evil. 81 years old today.
Not what he meant.
Laura Dern is 44 years old today. Emma Roberts celebrates her 20th birthday. Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass and from Let Me In is 14 years old. Elizabeth Banks, one of our favorites around here. Very lovely and talented actress. She is 37 years old today. I'll never forget how being...
Oh, what a
chilled
disaster.
Our relationship, Elizabeth Banks, last time we had her on. Remember?
What a
she was on for some movie that was coming.
I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah. I don't understand the question. You know what's funny about that is most of the time the guests recognize a fail question, but they're nice enough just to roll with it and just move on.
Try to answer whatever they think you're asking.
She couldn't. She just couldn't
do it.
Well, it
was such a retarded question.
I didn't even understand the question.
What stuff did you do in Slither? She's an actress, and they hired her to act in the movie. I'm assuming she acted in Slither. I'm guessing.
Right.
What stuff did you do?
That was a strange question.
That was a fail.
So yeah. Weird.
I don't think we've had her on since, quite frankly.
I don't think we ever will.
And who could blame?
Unfortunately.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Patrick are here. They are the Black Keys in town because, I don't know, they're nominated for about a million Grammys, airing this Sunday night at 8 on CBS. Welcome, guys. Great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show here.
Thanks for having us.
Black Keys are all over the place, also appearing on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. That's going to be tomorrow night, and then on the Conan O'Brien Show on Monday. Now, the Grammys, this is a new wrinkle even for the Black Keys, even for a band that has continued to grow in popularity every year over the last 10 years. All of a sudden, now you're getting into Crazy Town, right?
We have been covering Crazy Town.
Yeah. Every show. I knew when I said that was the wrong way to phrase it. I'm just saying lots of weird things have happened in your band where you go, I can't believe we're in that movie or on that TV show or in that video game or something like that. But when they call and go, it's big time, you're nominated for all these Grammys, I mean, that even has to be a surprise to you guys.
Yeah. We weren't expecting to get nominated for Grammys.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, we made 6 records and never had a nomination. Then all of a sudden,
right?
Does that make it harder to get used to, sort of, than it would if you were nominated on your first or second? We've been out there putting music out. We haven't changed a lot.
We have no idea what's going on, really, ever. So we have no clue.
I think it probably is. a little bit harder to adjust to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was saying earlier today, because we really have been super geeked that you guys are coming in. We really, really appreciate it, especially this time of day for, you know, for rock stars. I was saying you're such an unlikely success story in that your music is not the type of music that generally flies with the mass consumption, because it's, you know, it's, as I said earlier, it's so sweaty and so sexy and so, like, raw. It's not the type of thing you normally hear on a lot of the radio stations that are now playing the Black Keys. And I'm sure that's not what you expected when you made this Brothers record.
No, I mean, we've never expected to get played on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were really trying. When we made the record, you know, we did sort of almost everything you would do not to get played on the radio. Making a record in the middle of Alabama in, like, a, you know, a cinder block building that wasn't a studio, you know, that kind of stuff.
So they said, you need to try and make a record that can't get played on the radio.
That's sort of
and
what
then you went about it.
That's sort of what we've been honing. Our skills at not game play on the radio. That's been our
you,
goal.
And you were very successful at that, too.
You failed on this
record. We failed on this record.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a giant fail.
Take me back to what it's like growing up in Akron, Ohio. I guess you guys got together at the beginning of the decade, but, I mean, what were you listening to? What was big for y'all back in the 90s when you were growing up young people then?
I mean,
in the 90s.
I guess
Nirvana.
Yeah, Nirvana, Sonic Youth, Pavement.
So yeah. you were in the right place at the right time when guitar rock kind of came screaming back after taking a few years off, and it was inspiring to you to be able to hear that kind of music again.
Yeah, that stuff was on the radio and on MTV and stuff. Yeah, we were middle school, right?
Yeah, the first concert I went to was Dinosaur Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
and you figured if that guy can sing, anyone can sing,
right?
Right.
It was the loudest thing I've ever been to. So yeah. I have a hard time listening to, like, Fender guitars still because of it. It's just so piercing.
I think I read an interview where you guys were talking about some of your influences, and one was the Wu-Tang Clan. That,
yeah, we both listened to lots of hip hop, and we loved RZA, we loved Wu-Tang, and when we got together in the beginning, we recorded on a 4-track, and we sort of wanted it to have the sound quality of a Wu-Tang record because it was like the cool old soul sample, scratchy, you know, gritty. You know, I don't know how to describe it. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we loved it. We loved that sound.
You just knew what you loved.
Yeah,
that's right.
We loved that sound.
Yeah.
Were there a number of years where you guys had to have day jobs and then go out and do the Black Keys on the side, or were you able to make it a career fairly early on?
It depends on how you define career and success.
Were you able to live off your music relatively soon, or did you have to really plug away doing other things for a long, long time?
The first year we started the band, we mowed lawns together that summer.
Right.
To save money so we could go on tour. And then
nice.
That's when I found out I was allergic to grass clippings.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, we came back from our first, like, three-week tour and kind of decided that we would not work. And
you were able to do that, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, our rent at the time, our I think we were each paying rent of like $150 a month.
Sweet. What was the underground scene in Akron, Ohio? What was that like? I mean, are there a lot of bands? Are there a lot of venues? Was it sparse?
Well, like in Kent, Ohio, there are a lot of bands when we were growing up. And there's like some like DIY spots in Cleveland that, like, actually most of the good bands would come play at, like Modest Mouse when they first started touring. They would come play this little place called Speak in Tongues. I used to go up there and watch the bands play. You know, it's like bring your own beer kind of place.
Right.
18-year-old kids getting drunk watching bands that couldn't get booked at any other club.
Right. How tough was it for you to get a record deal and start putting records out?
Well, the first time we really made a demo, Dan sent it out to like 15 small labels, and we weren't really even planning on starting a band, and we got a record deal off of that. So,
all right,
show off,
yeah, exactly.
So they came back and said yes, and you said, "All right, then we have a band."
They said we sent out to it's like 13 different labels. We heard back from three of them. Two of them said we want to see you play first. And we were like, well, we'd never actually played a show, so we're not going to go with them.
Good.
So, but one label from Burbank from Burbank called Alive Records. This guy named Patrick Boisel, he sent us an email and he said, you send me 11 songs and I'll put out your record. And that's what we did. We sent him 11 songs and he put out The Big Come Up and that was it. It got reviewed in Rolling Stone and we started touring the country. And
wow.
And it just...
You make it sound so easy.
Well, I mean, it was kind of grueling the first few tours, you know, just driving back and forth in a grand caravan, you know, but...
We didn't get a single dollar from the first label, so I had to get a credit card and go in debt to, like, pay for the recording equipment, and my dad had to help me buy the minivan we used to tour.
Which parents love, because they love it when their kids go into music, because it's a guarantee.
Right. 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 Exactly.
Because yeah. That always works out the way they think it's going to.
Sure, son, what could go wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah, my grandma was super excited.
But at least she must love the kind of music you play. That's perfect for grandma, right?
Yeah.
Well, they've come a long way from that story to having one of their songs played on the Super Bowl pregame show over the weekend. And we're going to play that song and talk more with our guest, the Black Keys. Don't miss them on The Tonight Show tomorrow night, on Conan Show on Monday, and then in between winning a bunch of Grammys, we hope, on Sunday night. More with our guests right after this on The Kevin. Howling for You, the name of the song from the Black Keys on The Kevin and Bean Show. They are our guests in studio right now. The thing I love about that song, guys, is it could have come out in 1940, or it could have come out in 1980, or it could have come out last year. That's the beautiful thing about when you're playing the blues. You know what I mean? Great, great stuff. And I'm not crazy. I did hear that on the Super Bowl pregame show, right? That happened. That you were on my TV that day, right?
That happened.
Yes.
You heard
okay.
That.
I just want to make sure I wasn't hallucinating, because I thought, what's going on here? Black Keys are nominated for a bunch of Grammys, including Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocals for Tighten Up, Best Rock Song, also Tighten Up, Best Alternative Music Album, Brothers, and Best Rock Instrumental, Black Mud. A lot of people aren't still doing the rock instrumentals. Nice job.
And Patrick, your brother's up too, right? For
yeah, he is.
Artwork or packaging or?
Yeah, he's nominated for the album design. So he's done all of our record covers.
Are you guys excited? Well, he really blew the budget on the last one. Hey, I got a font. Okay, that's it. Just type it. Just type it and put it out. That'll be fine. Hey, guys, can we get a photo? Nah, just put it out with the font. That's all. What was I going to ask you? Oh, the Grammys. So you guys are going. Is this something that you're dreading, going to a big-time Hollywood event like this? Do you have to put on a suit or anything like that? Or is it something you're looking forward to or what?
I'm a little nervous, I guess.
We got tuxes.
Yeah. Ooh, fancy.
Nervous, like out of place nervous, sort of?
Yeah, exactly.
No, and we're really comfortable in tuxedos.
No, they are torture devices.
I've never worn a tuxedo, and I've never been on the red carpet, and neither has Dan, so we should.
We've never stood on any red carpet anywhere.
Yeah.
Just even accidentally in someone's house?
Never. Yeah.
Our houses are both carpeted in casino carpet.
Nice.
In a hotel.
That's sweet.
That's what we do on the side, is we design hotel and casino carpeting.
Do you know how they design that? So they put the hide, like, puke stains and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, sure. Yeah, it's the colors of puke. That way that it doesn't show.
No, that's right.
And tears. Puke and tears. It hides tears.
And dreams.
Crushed dreams. And baby's college money. All of that.
Yeah, your children just sort of disappear into the carpet. You forget about them.
Your rent money.
It's not that simple. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
It's designed so that you feel like you're in a place that you have no respect for whatsoever. So then you act like differently than you normally would.
So you treat yourself and your money with disrespect.
Yes, exactly.
I got you.
Interesting.
All right.
Black Keys have a lot of stuff coming up. I mentioned the TV appearances in the next few days. You're also going to be on day number one of Coachella. Now, forgive me for not knowing this. You played Coachella before, right?
Yeah, we've played it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. I thought I heard you on there before. So is that still a big deal, or is that just another gig now when you're playing out there?
I don't know.
Well, that's a lot of people. Sure. I mean, it's got to be one of the biggest shows you do all year, I would imagine.
Yeah, it will be this year, but yeah, we have, I mean, I don't know. We've played the main stage at Coachella before.
It's a big show.
Yeah. Fun. Great night too. Kings of Leon. You guys are on there. Brandon Flowers, CeeLo, and of course the Aquabats, which is the draw, but I mean, big night. And that sold out. I don't know how much you pay attention to this sort of thing, but Coachella sold out in less than a week when they put tickets on sale. So it's crazy.
That's probably because it owes a Motley though. Let's be honest.
Could be. All right, we're almost out of time with the guys. How are you feeling is something else we should ask. Your fans got concerned when they saw that you had to cancel some shows because you'd been working too hard. Are you guys revved up? You ready to go again?
We got poisoning from our spray tans. So
that can happen if you use it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, we're fine now. We're better now.
All right.
Did you just get into a headspace and a physical space that you just thought we can't keep this up?
Yeah, basically just
just exhausted.
Yeah, I mean we just kind of hadn't been home at all.
Right.
Are we adding?
Yeah, we got home and it was like, oh wait a minute,
this is home.
We have homes. This is kind of nice.
Are we adding to your health or taking away from your health at this point with this interview this morning?
Well, the only reason you're adding to the health is because you have the push-up machine. In
we
the
did
other
have
room.
The perfect push-up next
and
door.
And that's it.
All
that's
right.
The only reason.
Well, that's a parting gift. You can take that with you.
Right.
That will help.
I will say what you want about the Black Keys. They were doing push-ups in the other room before they came in for the interview, and that was impressive to me.
They did two push-ups. That's what happened.
Two.
Yeah.
Well, you got my
one
record
for
beat.
Each of you. One I did one push-up for each of you.
But they were perfect, and that's not easy to say. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Look for the Black Keys. They are going to be on your TV, Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Just watch their part is my advice during that hour. That's going to be tomorrow night. And the Grammys.
Let's fast forward to the performance.
Let's see if they win anything on Sunday on CBS and then on the Conan show, which should be a lot of fun. And that is going to air on Monday, Valentine's Day.
You Black know, Keys. One other thing. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, there's somebody sleeping in a car in your parking lot. Do you guys know who that is?
I don't know.
I forgot to bring that up.
That's awesome. Well, we have a game that we play
is
called
that the norm around here.
Yes. We have a game that we play called in the parking lot called Sleeping or Dead. And then somebody has to go out and check. So I guess it's time to play again.
So okay. They were just sitting in their car sleeping.
Well, I opened the car door and then I looked over and there's some guy curled up in his car with a little blanket over him sleeping.
Oh, wow.
Describe him.
Yeah.
Describe him.
Black guy, white guy.
He's a young guy, white guy.
It's got to be beer.
Do
mug,
you think
right?
He's like a
it's beer
hungover
yeah,
he's, intern or something?
He's passed out.
Okay.
You could draw on his head with a marker, whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay. I'm all just right. Checking. Just want to make sure I didn't see a dead person this morning.
Well, we're that's not all. Guaranteeing that. You might want to check on your way out as well. The guys, again, up for four Grammys on Sunday night. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Dan and Patrick, the Black Keys, very excited to have you. Very excited to have your music to play here on K-Rock.
Thanks so much.
So thank you.
What about Sarah Shahi being here in about 30 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way?
All right.
Actress from Life, former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, starring in a new USA show called Fairly Legal. She is on the way. Mike, you got to get her on the Love Line. That's what you got to do. You got to wreck her with your friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc.
Wow, Mike, you're even rubbing off on Bean.
Yeah, it's happening. You don't know the half of it. Dr. Drew, always a pleasure. First of all, how are you feeling? Are you fully recovered yet?
I'm much, much, much better. Thank you for asking.
Okay, great. You were one of the lone voices out there on the internet who was saying, hey, back off Lindsay Lohan. Why is everybody hating on her? Aren't they hating on her because she's a thief? Isn't that what's going on here, Doctor?
Well, yeah, I mean, they've sort of had enough of her, and I understand that, and they are expressing righteous indignation that she should somehow receive any sort of special treatment because, after all, this is a felony. But stand back, everybody. I mean, this is such a different situation than when she was actively using and was acting in ways that were crazy and was doing things where the judge was having to sort of really, like, shake her to get through to her with threats and all sorts of, potential legal actions, which did get through to her. And now she's in recovery. She's doing better. And she's had a problem, and my patients do stuff like this. I've seen this happen a number of times, where particularly like opiate addicts, female opiate addicts, interestingly, will do this as a sort of way to get a thrill. It's sometimes part of the opiate addiction syndrome. And I'm not saying that necessarily Lindsay is an opiate addict, but it's not uncommon for addicts to do this kind of thing. And then she gave it back. You know, it's not like she took it and ran, and you know what I mean. This is not like
but Dr. Drew, I think a lot of us get the feeling that if that was me, I would already be in jail.
There's just no
question about it.
Look, if that was you, that you took something from a store and brought it back a couple days later, they might be angry and might, take some actions, but the probability is nothing would happen to you. That's the reality.
Really?
I mean, really think about it. I mean, in fact,
I'm going to go to a jewelry store today.
The point is that the special treatment she might be getting is that they're making a little bit of an example of her. But here's my point, and this is really the bottom line, is that this is a very different situation than when she was stealing in her disease. This is somebody who the last thing she needs right now is to be taken away from her treatment and her recovery and her treatment team. She's doing well, and really derailing her at this point could be a life-threatening mistake. I mean, it really could.
Dr. Drew, what makes you so confident that she's clean now? And the only reason I ask, I don't have any additional information except what I read in the press, and I see stories on TMZ and places like that where she's still coming home from what looks like parties at 3 o'clock in the morning, which doesn't seem like a very safe place for her to be around people who obviously must be also drinking.
Yes, you have to change the lifestyle, and I'm not totally convinced that I'm not saying she's the most successful recovering person I've seen.
You know, right.
I'm saying this is somebody with serious addiction who's finally doing well, and the last thing she needs is this, you know, somebody making an example of her when she's finally making progress. I mean, think about how you don't hear that much about her right now. She's so much better than she was 6 months ago. I don't know. To me, I understand everyone's outrage. I understand they don't want to get special treatment. I understand she may have committed a felony and needs to take consequences. But look, here's the deal. She went into court yesterday without her family, by the way, which was very positive. It doesn't have her mom swirling around her. She's an adult.
Yeah.
She stood up, took the consequences, talked to the court appropriately. She seemed present, like a different person. She has clean urines from her parole officers. She's actively involved in the treatment process.
More importantly, though, Dr. Drew, she looked really hot in that white dress.
And I knew Kevin, you'd like the dress. I knew that. But then people get on her for the dress, too. And, you know, one of the things that happens early in recovery, first 6 months, Mike, you and I talked about this a little bit last night. People are so fragile. And particularly somebody like Lindsay that's lived in the family she's lived in and the kind of life she's lived. I mean, Mike, imagine how fragile she is now.
Oh, you make a lot of bad decisions during the first part of your recovery, stuff that you'd think you'd make during your disease.
Yeah.
But it's just that your mind really can't grab hold of itself, you know, at that tender kind of part of your recovery.
I'm not criticizing Dr. Drew. I'm saying she looked great.
She did look amazing.
I think we should give her a bonus for that.
But just to finish that comment, right. I mean, the people like her don't feel so empty and unregulated inside. They feel like the only thing they have is how they look, and they project out what they think is the right way to go, and it sometimes comes off wrong.
I'm saying
Well, it
is.
Didn't come off wrong this time. It was the right way to go. All right. We only have about 90 seconds left, Dr. Drew, but we really want to get your opinion on a story that everybody was talking about yesterday in Los Angeles County. I guess the health department, whoever that is, they were putting out what they thought was helpful information for people who are attending raves, telling them how not to die on ecstasy. And there are people who are now criticizing that decision because they're saying, hey, you're advising people on how to use illegal drugs. What's your thought as a medical professional, knowing how prevalent ecstasy is at these clubs and raves?
Generally, I'm in favor of helping people not die. Just generally speaking.
As a doctor, that's
one
of the things you do.
Principle.
Right.
So look, people are going to use. This is you're putting me back in that position of being the man again. Like, hey, if you're going to use, you need to go die there.
Right.
No, look, if people want to use, they're entitled. Go, whatever. I don't care. I'd rather they not die and they do it safely. The fact is, it's not good. I know where it's going to go. It's a bad thing. I'm not endorsing it. But, yeah, I think people need information so they don't harm themselves.
It's
kind of like saying wear your seatbelt if you speed. Oh my God, that's going to make them speed.
Right. Where does that fear come from? Like, why do they think more people, if they're given information about how to do it safely, why do they think that action somehow has a bearing on how many?
It's the same thinking as talking to kids about pregnancy or STDs or birth control, that we have this crazy moralistic way of thinking that if we talk to young people about how to do something safely, that's going to make them do it. No, these people are already doing it.
Right.
We just rather they not die. Thank you.
And a lot of people have died, including, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-olds in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, harm reduction is a rational thing. It just kind of goes too far sometimes.
All right. That's what Dr. Drew says. You can hear him with our friend Psycho Mike 5 nights a week on The Love Line, and look for him on every TV show ever filmed. Drew, great to catch up with you, my friend.
Guys.
We'll talk to you next time.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I think I see what's going on here. Yesterday, Ralph is, oh, I'm so sick. I can't work. I can't come in. I got to stay home. I'm going to be dead. I can't live. Today, Sarah Shahi's in studio. Ralph's like, I'm feeling great. I can't wait to get into work. What can I do for you guys?
It would take a lot more than just the flu or whatever I had yesterday to keep me away from Sarah Shahi.
That's what I thought.
It would take some sort of body cast or life-threatening injury. Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, she is joining us coming up right after the top of the hour to talk about her new show on USA called Fairly Legal. Stick around for that on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, the jeweler that Lindsay Lohan allegedly stole the $2,500 necklace from is saying she's tried this kind of stunt before.
Yeah.
TMZ has an interesting story this morning about the fact that she was in that same store, Camofi & Company, 4 days earlier, and tried to walk out with a diamond earring in her ear.
Oh.
Now, the story is saying this incident...
Wait, just one?
Yeah, let me get to it.
Okay.
But the story says that this incident may actually help her case rather than hinder it, because what it turns out, she had taken her the earrings that she wore into the store out to try on these earrings, had taken one out, and then was going to walk out with the other one in, as if she absentmindedly forgot not only that she only had one earring in, but that she left her original earrings on the jewelry case.
Oh, I see.
So they're speculating that if this is admitted into evidence, it could show a sort of behavior from Lindsay where she's just sort of scatterbrained and absent-minded versus having any larcenous intent when she walked out of the building. Yeah,
I can see that. She's just not paying attention.
Right, and she's just an idiot as opposed to a thief. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Dr. Drew said let her do whatever she wants because she looks hot in that white dress.
Apparently, he thinks she can do whatever. No, it's good. She's so much better off now. Oh, look how great she's doing. Blah, blah, blah.
I heard.
Easy, will you? Friend of the addict?
That's who he is.
He just loves addicts. Anything they do is fine with him.
I don't think that's the point.
Hey, you brought up an outstanding point. You never see that guy without a bunch of drugs hanging around.
That's right. It's always the take is always he's helping people. Maybe he's causing that kind of behavior.
That's right.
He's always surrounded by addicts.
You think
who
he's
knows?
Buying them drinks
exactly.
And stuff?
Yeah. Look, he's got a limited pool to draw from for this TV show. It's in his best interest to keep people addicted to booze and drugs.
I see.
What happens if everybody gets well?
Oh, good point.
Then hey, look at me, doctor. Look at me. Goes away. That's all I'm saying. He's not on TV anymore, is he? Once we're all healthy.
I guarantee the first one's free with Dr. Drew, man. He'll write you any prescription you want to get you started.
It's like the pharmaceutical companies, man. They don't want to cure cancer.
That's
right.
It's
too much money in treatment.
Mike, say that. We're going to have to play
conspiracy,
that.
It's conspiracy, man. It's conspiracy.
Dr. Drew next time he's on.
If he's really a doctor.
I heard Drew knock down the Twin Towers with Puff Daddy and Rodney King.
I heard that's true.
I'm suing for hundreds of dollars.
That's real.
That is happening. All right. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen, shall we? Speaking of addicts. He was partying with Dr. Drew the other night. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. He apparently is offering to pay one-third of the salary that the cast and crew of, of Two and a Half Men, is losing out on because of the imposed hiatus on production of the show.
All right, well, something.
He's going to pay a third if CBS and Warner Brothers pony up the other two-thirds.
But if they don't, he's not going to?
Apparently, that's what seems to be inferred by this offer.
Huh.
Which seems like a crappy offer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because he's putting a gun to the head of people who had nothing really to do with the fact that production halted. It was all on him. And saying they have to match, better than match his offer of paying the guys off.
Have to double his offer.
Yeah.
Wow.
That seems wrong. Especially in the light of the fact that he pays whores $30,000
to
show up at his house.
That was worth it.
Well, that was kind of worth it. Casey Jordan. But that he paid over $500,000, allegedly, for drugs in the past 6 months. I don't know what these guys are making, but it's not a half a mil, I'll tell you that much.
Right.
You got it, Charlie. Spend it on something else than suitcases full of powder. Allegedly. All right, before I get to the celebrity birthdays, I do have an email to read. I heard Kevin mention yesterday, because I was out sick, that no one was representing the Dude Looks Like a Lady front here. And I just, that's what brought me back. It wasn't Sarah Shahi. It was the fact that Dude Looks Like a Lady was going unrepresented. So.
Well, it didn't happen yesterday while you were out. That's all I'm saying.
Recently, Ralph, they were commemorating the 20-year anniversary of the film Bugsy at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood with a screening of the film and some Q&A after the film. Rumor was that Warren Beatty himself was going to be there taking questions. Well, I was in there early to make sure I got a seat in the small theater. And once I took my seat, the people were ushering in. I was shocked to see Jim, Tom, and Rick from Jimmy Eat World at the screening, too.
What?
Yes. I guess it turns out that Jew likes Warren Beatty. Jew likes Warren Beatty, yeah, yeah. Jew likes Warren Beatty, yeah, yeah. Sweet.
Congratulations. Worst so far.
Thank you so much.
You can't
That's
give
from
yourself,
Angel in Pomona.
You can't give yourself a sweet.
I'm not. I'm giving it to Angel in Pomona.
All right.
This is
one of Ralph's pen
this
names.
This is the voice of the people, man.
And by the people, you mean Ralph.
No, I mean Angel from Pomona.
You wrote it.
Or Angel.
Angel.
Depending. Speaking of which, have you heard since Steven Tyler started on American Idol Sales for Aerosmith records have gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This may be the smartest move of his career.
That's odd.
People going out buying the greatest hits of Aerosmith because he's being introduced to a whole brand new audience.
Huh. I'm going to tell you, as an Aerosmith fan who hasn't seen them in concert in many, many, many years, all I knew is what I would see in the news, which is Steven Tyler fell down off of another stage. And I thought, the guy's old, he's washed up, he's got to suck in concert. There's no way I'd ever go see him, no matter how much I used to love that band. Now that I see him on American Idol, he's vital, and he still sings great, he sounds great, he looks like a lot of fun. I think it'd be a great concert. Now I would go.
How many contestants is he going to bang through the course of this year?
How many has he already banged?
That's to take into
account. Amazing. These smoking hot girls come in 19, 20, 21 years old, and they make eyes at this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the power of fame.
He's 62. 62 years old, they're making
eyes
at.
The power of fame.
No, I think there's a separate audition going on American Idol that we don't see on TV.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Wagner, legendary star of TV, soon to be the new Charlie in Charlie's Angels. He's 81 years old. Hey. Laura Dern is 44 years old. Elizabeth Banks celebrates her 37th birthday. Emma Roberts, niece of Julia and daughter of Eric Roberts, the actor, is 20 years old. And Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass, she played Hit Girl in that. She was also in the recent film Let Me In. She's 14 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 13 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Very excited to welcome actress Sarah Shahi back to the program. She was on last time for Life. And since she's a serious killer, now she's back with a new effort.
How dare you, sir?
Fairly Legal.
Wow.
That airs Thursday nights at 10 on the USA Network. Hi, Sarah. How are you, my dear?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
We understand that there was almost road rage about 5 minutes ago in your life. It was a tough trek to get here today, but we appreciate you getting through.
Oh, thank you. I was just saying, I live about 3 minutes. By the way, where are you?
He's in Seattle.
I'm in your head, baby. I'm in your head.
I'm looking at everybody's
Don't ever use the word baby.
Mouths, and I'm like, no one's talking.
He lives on an island. He lives on an island.
Yeah, he lives in Seattle. He does his show from his
house. That's right.
Yeah.
And last time I was here. Oh, wait. Oh, no, that's not
he
him.
He used to be up there.
He used to be up there.
For some reason,
yeah.
Now
Sarah,
we only watch Regis and Kelly now.
Pay attention. Oh, over here, Sarah. Pay attention. What's
happening? No, it was nuts. It was nuts. It takes me, you know, just minutes to get to the Getty Center, and it took me 47 minutes to actually pass it on the way here. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's fun. Need to start doing our show from the Getty Center, then, if that's more convenient for you.
Or you need a helicopter, one or the other.
I think I need a helicopter.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
That's what it is. Yeah. That'd be cool. So maybe I can borrow Kelsey's if he doesn't lose it in the divorce.
That's right.
Like he won't.
Good idea. Ralph was the one, since apparently he has a Google alert on all things Shahi, but he was the one who came in and said, oh my God, new show, Sarah Shahi, Fairly Legal. I got to see it. We got to have her on. We got to talk. And Ralph, you were not disappointed. You've been a big fan of the program since it debuted.
Well, I've been mourning the loss of Life and Danny Reese since it went off the air. Loved that series. And when I heard you were going to start a new one, I had to check it out. And I think Barely Legal... Fairly legal, rather.
I wish it was not the magazine, Ralph.
Sorry, that was the thing I read
last
week.
You're not the first one to make that joke.
Is perhaps even a better role for you than Danny was, because she seems to be a little bit more like you. She's a little more upbeat, a little more funny. You get a chance to kind of show a side that you didn't when you were on Life.
Yeah, you know, on Life, they were very clear with me what they wanted and how they wanted me to portray Danny. Yeah. And I was actually given the note to never smile.
Really?
So, yeah, they said we should
literally never smile.
We should never see your teeth, is what they said. So,
are you sure?
And that's what they wanted. And
okay.
You know, and I hope I gave them what they wanted. And with this character, there's all these Wizard of Oz references in there, and she's both Dorothy and the tornado at the same time. And so it's fun to be somebody that's whimsical and off the cuff.
A little more you.
A little more me.
I don't know, in all the hundreds of law-centered shows that have been on television throughout the decades, I don't know that I've ever seen a show about a mediator.
This is different, you know? It's a law show minus the law. So it definitely is a different take on that. And the fact that she's a mediator, you know, I am not a big fan of procedurals. I like things that are a lot more character centered and heartfelt. And to me, I feel like I'm just shooting a romantic comedy movie every week, and I just happen to be a mediator, and that's one of the ways in which we tell the story. So the fact that it is sort of legal is secondary to what's really going on.
Mediators are scary things, too, because isn't the deal that the sides don't want to go to court because it's too expensive? And they go to a mediator, and it's a binding decision in many cases, right? I mean, your character decides what is going to happen, and they can't – there's no appeal for something like that, right?
No, but, you know, what a mediator does, a mediator is completely unbiased. So she or he represents both sides in a case. Whereas, you know, if you go to court, there's obviously going to be sides. And the mediator just wants the best outcome for both people. And, you know, so yes, it is less costly than a lawyer. They get to the results quicker. And they're not taking any sides. They just want what's best for the two people involved.
I think, like you said, the show's premise really is sort of just a delivery device for the characters.
I mean, I think so. That's what USA does so well.
I was just going to say that they've done that with Royal Pains, that the doctor show they have, you know,
right.
And White Collar and Burn Notice.
These are
all sort of genre shows, but they're more based on the characters, and it's more about more of a sort of a charming, lighthearted tone than it is
right.
More gritty stuff.
I mean, for me at least, that's why I always tune back to something, is I want to know what the characters are going to do in their interaction. And you know, I've been saying, I think this is the perfect way to pitch the show. It's like Sex and the City meets Law and Order with more sex than law.
All right.
Wouldn't you guys watch that show?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been saying it all over the place, but I think it's working because people are listening. People
like
are watching.
It.
I don't even care if that's right.
I watch it.
It's just a good line.
They're watching going, that's nothing like what she said, but yet I like this show anyway. That's what they're doing.
Exactly.
The program that we're talking about is called Fairly Legal. It airs Thursday nights at 10 on USA Network. Sarah Shahi is our guest. More with her right after this on the Kevin Amin. Our guest in studio on the Kevin Amin Show right now is actor Sarah Shahi, the star of Fairly Legal, Thursday nights at 10. Hey, that's tonight, don't you know, on the USA Network. Here's the thing about Sarah that we found out last time she came in on the show. She has an opinion on everything.
Yes.
It is unvarnished, and she is not afraid to share.
Right.
Oh.
That's why she's great.
That's
why
she's
awesome.
So what are you guys
awesome.
About to ask me?
No, I'm just saying it's awesome.
Okay.
It's so rare to hear somebody in your business who's not afraid to tell what they really think about somebody or something. I would just applaud that. It's refreshing.
And it's rare. Well, the off-air conversation is almost better than the on-air conversation. Not almost,
I mean,
it is better.
The things you want to do to Danny DeVito, we can't even talk about.
Oh, my
there.
Gosh.
But I'm fascinated that you went to the Super Bowl because, and we mentioned this last time you were on, you did used to cheerlead for the Cowboys, so you got relationship there. But was this your first time at the new stadium?
Yeah, it was. It was incredible.
Did it blow your mind?
Oh, my gosh. It looked like the mothership or something. Like
it's
incredible, right? I expected it to take off. It's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
Do you still have a lot of friends in the organization? I mean, like,
I have no friends in the organization.
Oh, really?
You don't have, like, a secret for life ID card or anything?
No, I don't. I don't think I'm well-liked. Speaking of not being afraid to speak my mind.
Would Jerry Jones recognize you?
Maybe, because I got the calendar cover that year I was the cheerleader. And I think they have, I don't know, but I'm speculating that they have something to do with picking the cover.
Okay.
At least that's what my husband told me. And I, as a good wife, I'm supposed to believe everything he says.
Of course.
That's right.
So maybe he would because of that. But I ended up quitting the organization and moved to Texas. And
Wait, it's in Texas.
I mean, move to L.A.
Okay. Just trying to keep things straight.
It's that baby brain thing. It does not go away.
You can't keep blaming every mistake on a baby.
The
kid's like eight now, right?
No.
Do you ever see your baby? Because I was watching the show with my wife last week, and I said last time Sarah was in, she's coming in next week, last time she was in, she was pregnant. You're in every scene of that show.
Yeah. It's tough because as a working mom, it's like you want to feel like you're 110% there for your job and for your family. And what happened was I had to bring him to work with me during lunch, and I would have, you know, they would give me a little bit extra time during lunch. So I would chase him around, play with him during lunch. He would leave. If I got home that night and he was still up, I would send the nanny home with him, or send the nanny home.
Let's just take the opposite of what she says.
Right.
And flip it.
I would send the nanny home. I'd be with him, put him down. I was still breastfeeding, so I would breastfeed through the night, wake up with him. What is that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I would wake up with him in the morning before I went to work, and then the day would start again.
I could do that for about 3 days.
I did it for close to 5 months, but there was just never any time, mental like time off. Which is why you guys are having to decipher everything that I say now.
We do have a team of scientists in the other room.
And I do want to say, my husband was there for the first 5 weeks, and he was absolutely amazing. But then after that, he had to come back for his show.
Where's he from, your husband? I was always curious.
La Crescenta.
Okay. Oh, La Crescenta. That's a great town.
Yes, he's a huge fan. Yeah,
love it.
La Crescenta.
What's his show?
His show is called Shameless, and it's on Showtime.
Oh, yeah. That's a good show, too.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? Check you guys out. Now, because you are both Holly weirdos, did you give your kid a crazy celebrity showbiz name?
You know...
It's your job.
Okay, his name is Wolf.
There it is.
All right.
There it is.
His name is William Wolf. It's William Wolf Howie, and Wolf was my nickname for my husband. And so when we found out we were having a boy, it just felt appropriate.
Wolf.
And he is.
Okay.
He is. He's all boy. And fur and
teeth.
You
don't think he's going to get beat up for being named Wolf when he's in school?
Okay. No, I don't.
You think maybe it'll be intimidating?
Don't. I think he's going to be one of those little dudes that he loves hanging out with the boys and loves kissing the girls.
Yeah,
no,
not
like that. But I think he'll be well liked. He's very popular among the other kids in our neighborhood. So.
All right.
Now, but when you have told your friends when they, you know, meet your kid and your kid's name is Wolf, do they think, hey, Wolf Blitzer? I mean, what name comes to mind?
Wolfgang.
Why do they think
he's...
Yeah, the kids love Wolf Blitzer, Bean. I said her friends.
Wolf Blitzer.
I said her friends. Wondered if you got it from Wolf Blitzer, I wonder.
I've gotten that a couple times. People always, this is what they say. They go, oh, Wolfgang, you named him Wolfgang. And I go, no, I named him Wolf
just
after
Wolf.
The animal. Yes. They're like, W-O-L-F-E? I'm like, nope, just Wolf after the animal. So
why
does
it have to be something else? Why can't
they
just...
I don't know.
They have to find out if there's further
information. I guess maybe people are not used to things just being what they are. They just think it always assumes something else or means something else. I don't know.
I love Sarah so much that I wish she were in the Black Keys. That's how much I love her.
We all do.
Wow, is this fun. And,
I heard that interview. We all wish she was in the Black Keys.
Oh, come on now.
No offense to those guys who we also love, by the way. But
yes.
You're a lot more fun to talk to. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you.
We're almost out of time. How about a plug for tonight's episode of Fairly Legal, Ms. Shahi? What's going on?
Tonight's episode, it's actually, I think, my favorite episode of the season. It's called Burning with Bo, and I basically have to mediate a story between, there's a chef, there is the real chef, and then there's the food company that is claiming that the chef is stealing the recipes. It's kind of complicated.
You're not doing yourself or the show any favors.
I know. I'm really not. Basically, you should tune into the show because this guy named Anton Cropper directed it, who I think is a genius, and it looks more like a movie, not a television show. And I'll just tell you this. When I saw this cut, it was when we were still filming. I loved being on my show.
Really?
So that's how much I love this episode.
Wow.
I can't remember what it's about because it's been so long.
Sure.
And baby brain.
Sure.
But you should watch because I'm telling you it's really good.
Right. Also, a shout out to all your supporting cast because Michael Trucco, who I loved on Battlestar Galactica, he's great on the show.
He's great.
Baron Vaughn is very funny on the show.
He is.
You have a great cast surrounding you, and it's really a
Virginia
very...
Virginia Williams is great.
Very entertaining program.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
My first thought was I have had the poor fortune of being in the room with the mediator. Never look like you.
No
one's
too.
Ever happy. There's never a happy outcome.
It's not really about
ever.
That so much.
I was sitting there going, this is
if
not
you like
real.
Hot chicks who live on boats. That's really more what it's kind of about. Really. USA Network, Thursday nights at 10 p.m. The show is called Fairly Legal. Sarah, we love you. You're welcome anytime
on
the Kevin
Beach
Show. Thanks
I
for
love
coming
being
in.
Here. Thank you.
I don't know about you guys, but I miss Sarah Shahi. I wish she were still here.
Damn, she's the best.
She's the best person in the world ever, right?
She really is.
Why
up there.
Why can't she do traffic on our show, guys?
Can't she do
because
anything on our show?
She's better than that.
Yeah, that's true. She's too good for traffic. Right?
That's an important point.
Stupid question.
She'll never slum like that. All right, time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
I wish we had time to talk to her more. Because as I was watching the show last week, she is so one of those actresses who is completely natural and spontaneous and is sort of has a great personality that really comes through in her performances.
She makes it look easy. I'll give
her
that.
She makes it very looks very easy.
Yeah.
And I know she started as a cheerleader and model and whatnot, and I wonder if she had actually, you know,
taken lessons or
Had a goal to be an actress early on in her career or whether it's just she just has the natural gift.
We have
her back
questions.
Tomorrow. But I didn't have time to ask her that.
Yeah.
Bean was ringing the bell and, you know, going...
Well, she was saying very dirty things. There wasn't anything I could do about that.
You're born the same week as Rachel Nichols.
Oh, that was off the air. Let's not bring that on the air
until
thanks for that info.
All right. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we?
Everyone talking about Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz getting divorced. Now, rumor has it, it's all Ashley's idea. They're saying Pete Wentz begged her not to leave. Oh, could he be any more of a tremendous mo? Just when you think that he has no masculinity whatsoever, he takes away from that. Now he's in the negative masculinity zone.
And by the way, who begs Ashley Simpson to stick around? You look at that as a blessing from heaven, right? If she's leaving you?
Please don't leave me with your horrible singing and your bad haircut.
First of all, gay. Second of all, stupid.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah.
What more do we have to say? Lindsay Lohan's back in the news. She was indeed slapped with a charge of felony theft yesterday for allegedly stealing a $2,500 necklace, but managed to avoid going to jail because the judge, well, frankly, gave her a break. He looked at her in that tight white dress and those black patent leather shoes and said,
boobs.
All right, here's your bail. But don't do it again, or seriously, Missy, you're going to be in big, big trouble.
This time I mean it.
So we'll see what happens. But now there's stories being leaked on TMZ and other entertainment news sites that say the case may be flimsy, where it comes from, the information being provided police from the jewelry store, at least. There has been differing accounts of what happened from different employees at the store. There's been a case of Lindsay having been at the store before and accidentally walking out with something, and they didn't charge her with theft at that point. So maybe they can establish a reasonable doubt in this case if all these things turn out to be true. So she may, once again, escape. But look, don't you kind of hope that for her now at this point? Well, don't you want her to get better more than do more jail time, really?
I didn't until we talked to Dr. Drew last hour, and now I do.
Well, I didn't really ever wanted to see her go to jail.
Well, it's not that. It's just you don't like to look at other people and go, wow, I wouldn't get that break. But Dr. Drew set me straight, I think.
Yeah. Well, we all want you to get rehabbed more than we want you to go to jail, too. So you probably would get the same break, Kevin. And, you know, Lindsay's representatives are saying she's up for a big role in the new Superman movie.
Yeah, we mentioned the rumor yesterday. We said we hadn't heard that. Is that
I just think new? She's got really good representatives who lie for her.
Oh, I see.
I need to get better. Just I need to get better management. There. I need to get management that just bald-faced lies about stuff. You know, Ralph's going to play Orson Welles in the new movie about his life. Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. No, it's true. It's just lies. Just put lies out there. He just gets your name in the press.
Yeah.
I don't believe she really is being considered for any of the big roles in Superman. But what do I know? Glee creator Ryan Murphy is in talks to direct that reboot of Annie that wants to Will Smith wants to do with his daughter Willow.
Wow. Yeah, that needs to go away.
The guy from Glee directing Willow in Annie. That's just a confluence of just badness.
Does anyone else smell Astroglide?
Apparently, Ryan Murphy, Glee creator, is in big demand since Glee has been such a smash hit on TV to do a bunch of feature film musicals, including the Rocky Horror Picture Show remake and a film based on the Broadway play Wicked. So he's got his choice. We'll have to see what he chooses to do. But he's in the running for the Willow Annie. And John Bon Jovi wants to get back into the football business. You may remember he was one of the owners of the Philadelphia Soul Arena football team.
No memory of that.
They were the champs, man. Like year after year, they crushed an arena football.
Of arena top notch gay.
Yes.
Of arena football.
Arena football. Okay. Real football. That's man's football right there, the arena football.
Right.
That makes up for the Eagles never winning the Super Bowl,
how
right?
How dare you, sir. Well, that league collapsed, and now he is looking to buy a piece of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
Oh, I like that. John Bon Jovi would be like my new owner. Oh, I like Jen Bon Jovi.
Dave has trouble with vowels.
He does have problems with vowels. Lollapalooza lineup's been announced. It's going to be headlined by Eminem, Muse, and Foo Fighters.
How about that?
Wow. That's a lineup.
That's pretty strong.
There are at least three more headliners that are going to be announced soon, according to the Chicago Tribune. So we'll have to wait and see. But on those three acts alone, I think it'd be worth going to Chicago to see.
Muse alone by itself is worth going to Chicago to see.
Happens every year, and this year the dates are August 5th, 6th, and 7th in Chicago's Grant Park, and the full lineup will be announced sometime in April, so you may want to make your plans. Man, it's a good lineup.
Yeah, it is.
Seems like the Foos are just playing everywhere now. They got this new album coming out.
Free show every night, it seems like.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Wagner, who will soon star as the new Charlie in Charlie's Angels. He, of course, was in Heart to Heart and played number 2 in the Austin Power movies. Number 2 to Dr. Evil.
81 years old today. Actress Laura Dern turns 44. Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass and from Let Me In is 14. Emma Roberts celebrates her 20th birthday. Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
We love her so much.
We do.
She's so funny on 30 Rock. She plays Avery.
Yes.
Alec Baldwin's wife and soon-to-be mother of his child. Very funny. And I remember when we had her in, I forget what movie she was promoting.
It wasn't...
It was the one where she's like the mean new stepmom.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
It wasn't the one Bean was asking about.
No, no. She was looking way back into her past, and she had done a movie called Slither.
Slither.
And he had this, well, you know, it was worth going back that far to that film when you hear what he got out of this answer.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah. I don't understand the question.
What stuff did you do in Slither?
And by the way, it's way worse. He cut it down to save himself.
It could be the worst question I've ever
asked. It was a giant meltdown, and I'm the one that's known for that, but Bean just melted right into a puddle. It was awesome.
I do have more in this file if you guys want to hear more. I don't remember what happens afterwards.
Sure, let's hear it.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? Did you... What did you do back then?
We were more like slugs.
Right.
And yes, in that movie, I played Starla Grant. My husband gets infected by an alien.
She's being so nice.
Who is trying to then infect the rest of the world.
Yeah. That old Tiger plot line. Yeah.
So you were the terrified in that movie, and in this one, you're the terrifier.
Wow, it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Yes, that's how it is.
Wow.
Yeah. And we never had her back on. Is that what we decided?
She's never been on since. And who can blame her?
I don't blame her.
But were you a chaser of the snakes?
What did you do?
I can't explain it. I really can't.
She is 37 years old today. We wish her a happy birthday and apologize once again for that interview. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Sports Illustrated supermodel Brooklyn Decker show tomorrow.
Wow.
We have Jay Wow
nice.
On the show tomorrow.
She's looking good lately, by the way. Have you seen her lately?
Yes.
Good.
We have Movie Beat tomorrow. We have You Were Fired for Something You Did, But It Was So Worth It tomorrow. LaQuisha will take a look at Jersey Shore. And did I mention we have Brooklyn Decker?
You did mention that.
I think you did say that. And your final chance to get tickets for the Kevin and Bean Love on the Rock singles party.
Oh, great.
And Brooklyn Decker, supermodel and Sports Illustrated model cover. All tomorrow morning on a new show.